All right, well, we'll call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. I almost said Monday. It is 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call vote, Marie?
Director White?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
President Guerrero?
I'm present.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
The fact that I had to think about that, maybe I'm not, but we'll move on to the flag salute, item number 3. If you'll join me, please. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go into public comment, I did have an exchange today with, and I forgot her name, the lady that runs AGP, and so we will ask AGP to stay through closed session, assuming it doesn't go past the 3 hours, because we don't want to pay overage fees for the community of Oceano. So we'll move on to public comment. Item number 4, is there any public comment this evening? Actually, it's not on the agenda. The agenda review is not on the agenda, but oh, we do. Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Let me call concurrently the special meeting, which is set for tonight, regarding, and I hope everybody got the agenda, regarding the drought and Oceana taking a position regarding the sale of water. I would propose that we hear that after the business items. There is public comment on that, so we'll take public comment for that at that time. Let me make a note here in case I forget it.
I do one too. Thank you. I do, please.
And this was brought about secondary, to, obviously, to the drought proclamation by Governor Brown this week, and there was an attached to our agenda packet some information regarding that. I think you'd have to not be paying attention not to have seen that. So,
Thank you very much.
The agenda review. I do note in the agenda review that I had requested an agenda review. Excuse me, an agenda item for the Lopez will serve letter, and it's not on there. I had asked staff. I was in the office on Friday when one of the Lopez residents called. Yeah, they had a will serve that they had some questions and concerned about. I then exchanged emails with I believe it's Miss Lopez or Mrs. Lopez, and it's not on the agenda.
Okay.
Lonnie, when I place something on the agenda, I'd ask that it stay on the agenda.
It was my misunderstanding there, which client it was, because we had another one that was just exactly like that, and I took care of both of them, so I'll bring that back at the next board meeting.
Also, well, it's not, we'll bring it, I think actually our discussion, my discussion with Jeff today may render the point moot, but
okay.
Well, just depends on what the board decides to do.
It?
No, that's item B. The this is the item 9B is the continued will serve appeal that we had from before. Is there a staff report on this, Mr. Curtis?
Yes, sir.
Can you pass that out?
If there's a representative from Lopez on the stage,
right.
I would suggest that
we add it. Okay. Is there a representative from Lopez?
You.
Mr. or Mrs. Lopez here? Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your emails, ma'am. I know. Is there a copy for the public also, Mr. Curtis? Okay. Director Lucy has asked that we add this Lopez will serve to the agenda item. I would add it as 9E. Miss Tacker, do you mind not calling out from the back? Thank you.
And does Mr. McCall have a copy of this report?
Ms. Tacker, please don't create distractions and disruptions. Thank you. I'm going to need to put this to the side. I obviously don't have time to digest it in the next 30 seconds. It appears to be a lengthy staff report for agenda item 9B. So I'll move to, is there any other changes to the agenda?
No, I just asked that the issue of 9E, did you say? No.
Well, that would be possibly the Lopez will serve.
Yeah, that it be a, just.
Can you turn your mic on?
That we just do a summary, an overview of it right now, and then we take action at the next meeting when we can digest it all.
Perhaps one way to do it might be to ask Mr. Curtis to address the Lopez will serve in his
great
report. And if we need to bring it back, we can do that. Does that make sense, Mr. Curtis? You can address the Lopez will serve request in your operations report?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we'll do it that way. Ms. Blackburn, do you have anything you want to?
No, I don't have any changes.
Right. Ms. Angelo?
No.
All right. Ms. White?
No.
All right. I'll move to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll move on to item number 4, public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening on this at this time? Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. First of all, I'd like to observe that for the third meeting in a row, your agenda is discombobulated. You have matters that are running concurrently, which should have been planned in advance. There's a virtual absence of staff reports. It's just not getting any better. The two things I would like to touch on during the public comment are, I think, very important to the district. You may recall that in December of last year, Public Works sent you a letter requesting comments on the HUD CDBG monies. I copied your district on my letter. I don't know if you've had a chance to see a copy of it. I'm going to submit one for the record. Hopefully that'll make the minutes next time. In any event, this Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project is a boondoggle. My letter, actually, I wanted to clarify my letter. I stated that there were some $400,000 of CDGB money. Actually, it's over $600,000. They're reaching into your back pocket and taking out $600,000 that represent about 20% of the total project cost, being $3 million. This is a public works project with very little benefit in terms of overall drainage and flooding issues in the community of Oceano. I think it's important. The matter is pending before the Coastal Commission, and you, at your last meeting when your board heard the letter or read the letter, that you didn't really have a response. I think that's unfortunate. This is not a done deal, this project, not a done deal at all. Secondly, I'd like to speak to the idea that Ms. Lucy advanced last meeting about wraparound services. You may recall Ms. Lucy mentioned that this district might be well served and certainly have a discussion about your interest in providing wraparound services to the OHV business. I have to wonder what she was thinking. The idea of horses tying up at Sylvester's while you have a burger, that doesn't pass the laugh test, Mr. President. You know, the other communities, Grover, AG, Pismo, they're not selling water or taking sewage, selling kites or kite strings. They're collecting TOT, transient occupancy tax, 12% a pop. Now, that's real revenue. wraparound services, I would take it off your future agenda. It has no place in Oceano. It doesn't square with revitalization. It doesn't pass the laugh test. What are we talking about? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and again, I am confused by the multiple agendas and the formatting of the agendas. I like that the six-minute rule is gone, but again, as an advocate for the board, policy needs to be changed by you, not by your general manager. So I think if that's your intent, you need to bring that back in a public forum where the public can participate in how your agendas do roll out. I look forward to speaking several times tonight, as is indicated by this agenda. And first, I wanted to speak to public comment for items not on the agenda. I hope you and your community are aware of the proposal at the Phillips 66 refinery just down the road. The refinery is looking to expand its ability to receive crude oil, and they will do that by rail. So some 250 round trips, trains rolling by through Oceano twice, going to that facility in order to offload millions of gallons of crude oil, benefiting only that giant firm. The finances of that firm are the only thing that benefits from the project. The rest of the impacts are felt by the people and the environment around it. The environmental impact report is on the street. Comments are due Monday, the 27th, at 4:30 p.m. to the County of San Luis Obispo. I encourage everyone here in this room and everyone at home to pay attention to that. This county built itself along the rail line. The railway is very important. All around our country, there have been accidents associated with this crude oil traveling by rail. Tonight you're going to have a health presentation, and you're going to look out for the health and safety of Oceano residents. And I encourage you to look at that project and how it impacts this district and how it affects the citizens who live this close to that refinery. The trains, 250 of them a year, coming and going through your community. I think it's very dangerous, and I think your board should take a look at it, and I hope you do, and I look forward to coming back later in the agenda to speak to some items specifically.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment, go on to item number 5, special presentation. Kathleen Carl, Health Promotion Division Manager, San Luis Obispo Public Health Department and the Oceano Community Health Plan. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. Again, my name is Kathleen Carley, Division Manager in the Public Health Department. You're not going to hear much from me tonight. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague here, but I wanted you to know that the Public Health Department is collaborating with the City and Regional Planning Department of Cal Poly. We've selected two communities in the county to do what we call a health strategy, and Oceano is one of the communities. The other is Cayucas. Now, the people in Cayucas said that, why are you working in Oceano? They should live in Cayucas. And we're thinking that both of our communities are valuable. And what we want to do is assess what's going on in your community and develop some strategies to improve the health of your residents. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Philip Brennan. Philip Brennan is a master's student at Cal Poly Regional Planning Department. And I'm going to stay around to answer any questions you might have. Philip.
Good evening. Is it Mr. Brennan?
Yes.
Pleasure.
Yeah, so I wanted to first thank the Oceano Community Service District for putting us on the agenda and allowing me to speak and make this presentation. This is basically amounts to what's going to be my culminating professional project for my degree, and I'm excited to be here. We felt it was important and needful to come here and sort of announce our intentions and the community and ask for your support as well as your feedback with what we're going to be doing. This project, it's important to emphasize this project is an interdisciplinary effort between planning and public health. And as such, I think I wanted to present to you today a brief history of the two fields and how and why it's important that these two fields are intersecting again to address the health issues that we're facing today. City planning arose out of the health reform movements that stemmed from the industrial age. Major cities across the country were burgeoning with people looking for work and opportunity. Unfortunately, the massive urbanization and industrialization that occurred during that era led to numerous public health issues. Major cities of that day were the antithesis of sanitary and healthy environments. They were overrun with human and animal waste, trash, general squalor. The city was a breeding ground for infectious diseases such as yellow fever, cholera, tuberculosis, further toxic air pollution and runoff from nearby industrial sites. Ventilation, lack of clean water sources, and organized firefighting services made living in a major city at that time a really risky venture. Early reformers of that day were considered to be the first urban planners. And they were considered that the two fields were considered to be the same up until the 1930s. But over the course of the next 30 years, the two fields started drifting apart. City planning basically was a professional it became rationally based on primarily concerned with urban form and aesthetics. Public health made its advancements with corresponding scientific and technological advancements, and public health issues became strictly the domain of science. During the next 30 years, from 1940 to the 70s, the two fields became their own definite silos of expertise. City planning was emphasized land use and zoning. It was focused on growth and efficiency in city infrastructure. Public health, the government, you saw more government regulation with public health. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was founded on a larger global scale. The World Health Organization was founded in 1948. And public health was mostly focused on investigating communicable and infectious diseases, immunization, and even tobacco regulation. During the last two decades of the 20th century, you started to see the two fields dealing with issues that were relatable to one another. City planning started dealing a lot with environmental justice, smart growth, sustainable design. Public health started addressing environmental health, climate change, advancement in public health policies, and their attention shifted to chronic and preventable diseases. And so that brings us to today and what we can call health planning. It's a field, the fields of public health and planning professions are intersecting once again, and they're identifying ways planning affects human behavior and how public health is impacted by planning decisions. Over the past 20 years, there's been a resurgence in the relationship between the two fields in planning, public health, and even architecture. We have a better understanding of how the environment plays a major role in today in factoring into our personal health. Researchers and professionals in these fields have identified the need for better connections between the disciplines in order to address today's major health concerns. Public health is focused on chronic and preventable diseases, which according to the CDC is the leading causes of death and disability in the United States. So how healthy are our communities? As you can see here, we have illustrations of people crossing the streets unsafely because of a lack of sidewalks. We have people walking on the shoulders of streets because of a lack of infrastructure and barriers for pedestrians. We have people who are traveling outside of their towns for their goods because we're not allowing for provision of these types of stores that they need inside their communities. And of course, you can see the unhealthy foods that we are all over our communities today. So the decisions we make regarding aspects of planning, such as land use, vehicle circulation, zoning, street design, are all elements that influence human behavior. The level of physical activity we receive, time spent walking, biking, playing, recreation, the amount of time we spend in our cars driving, the foods we consume, the quality of air we breathe, these are all contributing factors to our health. Even beyond that, poor health is costly. As you can see here, 22.4% of CalPERS medical expenditures in 2008 were spent treating chronic diseases that could have been prevented through changes in diet and increased physical activity. This is just a further illustration of that. As you can see, circled is San Luis Obispo County, and you can see the high rate of expenditure spent on diseases targetable by lifestyle interventions. So the purpose of my project is to provide Oceana with a course of action towards a healthier community. I'm going to be addressing health and planning at a small scale, and hopefully it will serve as a model for other small communities in the county. It may also possibly inform a health element that would be applicable on a countywide scale. And finally, I'm doing this to improve social and the root determinants of health. So why Oceana? Research has shown that low-income and disadvantaged communities have disproportionately high incidences of negative health health outcomes, such as cancer, asthma, and injuries, which are often the result of structural and institutional inequities. A further illustration of this was in 2000 and 2008, the Health and Fitness Zone conducted a fitness test for 5th, 7th, and 9th graders all over San Luis Obispo County. Basically, if you fell within this zone, you were considered healthy. If you fell out of it, you were considered at risk. 19.1% of all SLO County students in those grades fell out of the health fitness zone. 33% of those students were Latino and Hispanic children. Oceano Elementary, the K through 6th school, 32.5% of Oceano 5th graders fell out of the health and fitness zone. And this is important because children who are overweight in childhood are 70% more likely to be overweight and obese as adults, which increases their risk of stroke, hypertension, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, and many of the other preventable health issues. So to better understand what a health plan is on a small scale, it's useful to review what a general plan is on a larger scale. And as I'm sure everyone knows, the general plan is a guiding policy document of a county or city that represents the official statement of the local government regarding its social, physical, and economic goals. A general plan contains a set of state-mandated elements for guiding land use decisions. The county of San Luis Obispo has adopted 7 additional optional elements. A health element is not part of that right now. But this health promoting language can be included through goals, policies, and it can be included in the back of a general plan as an appendix. So why an Oceano Community Health Plan? Like a general plan, these subplans have a set of principles that help guide development. A health strategy or health plan is like a health element for a community, but on a smaller scale. A health strategy for a community will introduce the idea of formal planning to the public in the county, and hopefully one day, or it'll provide traction for one day incorporating more health promoting language in the general plan. So what will this health plan involve? I'll be conducting a background report, engaging in the community through outreach. I'm going to be trying to get feedback from the community regarding what they think are health issues, what's hindering them from being more active, what they are doing to be active, things of that nature. From the results of that type of outreach, I'm going to be synthesizing goals for the community, suggesting implementation strategies, and drafting policy recommendations. This is just further detail of what the background report will have. And as part of the outreach process, which is where I'm currently at right now, this meeting is part of that. I'm going to be interviewing key informants and stakeholders. I'll also be conducting a survey to ask about specific issues in Oceano and things of that nature. The final product will be a planning document modeled after health elements currently being included in general plans throughout California. I'll be it'll integrate the fields of planning and public health to Oceano and provide Oceano an assessment of the residents' health a description of the current built environment conditions that may be hindering physical activity and access to nutritious foods sources, as well as establish goals, policies, and implementation strategies that will set a course of action towards a healthier community. And so, I guess I want to ask if there's any questions.
I have a board. Do you mind if I start?
Go ahead.
Okay, you were talking about the implementation strategies. What are those? I mean, you talked about the gorilla going out and talking to the community. How do you make the rubber meet the road?
There's a lot of different methods we could do. So one of the issues I'm encountering with Oceano is there's not many planned events here that I could participate in. So gorilla outreach basically is like getting a team of people and canvassing a high traffic pedestrian area, like a grocery store or whatnot, and fielding, asking people to respond to certain survey questions and whatnot.
Are there communities with demographics like Oceano where this has been done and implemented, and what are the results?
Yeah, part of the process of what I'm doing for the background report is building a matrix full of has communities that have similar demographics, population size, median income, things of that nature, and that's still being devised, but I will be finding comparable communities, and if they have health elements, maybe looking towards what they have done that's successful, maybe looking at identifying things, aspects of it that weren't.
It's still very much a work in progress.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of work to do. This is the initial step.
Is CHC involved? Obviously, we have the clinic right down the street.
Yeah.
We're very familiar with CHC, and yes, I think one of the sites that we would use for some guerrilla outreach would be CHC. If we could sit in their lobby and talk to clients, there's a lot of clients that go through there.
Yes.
And then we would also do key informant interviews with some of the staff at the CHC clinic. So we're very aware of them, and we know their input is critical.
We also have a farmer's market that's starting to get up and going.
April's talked to us about it. And if the farmer's market was up and going right now, it would be a perfect locale to do something like this, because we could just set up a table at the farmer's market. But we're not convinced the farmer's market will be up by the time he starts writing his report. So, April gave me her card, and if that gets going, we'll be there.
Okay. I'd like also to invite you guys back.
When we're done,
closer to June, and let us know how it's going. What else needs to be done, and what results are
seen. Absolutely, I'd like to provide everyone a copy with the final draft of the health plan for your review.
And he'll make a report telling you what we learned. One of the programs I manage at Public Health is our obesity prevention program, and we did do a walking audit in Oceano several years ago around Oceano Elementary, and we know the issues. If people want to get out and walk, the strollers, the streets are broken, they're on the shoulder, you're on Highway 1 where the cars are going really fast. So we know some of those issues, but we're going to revisit some of those things and come up with our own recommendations.
What do you see? You finish your report, you graduate, and have to pay back the student loans.
Yeah.
I know what that's like, but what do you see? So 6 months from now, you finish your report. What's happening 9 months from now?
Right. So what we're trying to do. Again, I manage the obesity prevention program, and the Board of Supervisors gave money for a childhood obesity prevention project in 2006, and we have a coalition called Heal Slow, and we've been working on this for a long time. Heal Slow started moving into the policy work, collaborating with planning several years ago. Our long-range goal is to really, that's why we've chosen two communities in our county that are very different demographically.
Yes.
Cayucas, smaller, different issues. We went to Cayucas. We asked them, what do you think the biggest health issue is in your community? And they said swimmer's ear. it's from all the surfers out in the water, right?
Right.
We're going to find different things in Oceano. And our goal is, next year, I want two more students in the master's, and I want them to identify two more communities. And what we want to do is we want to build a groundswell of support that we now go back to the Board of Supervisors in 5 years you know? And we have all of these strategies from all of these communities that can be rolled up into one planning document and can really set the tone for what's going on in our community. Keep in mind that other counties around the state are doing this. Riverside County has a beautiful health element. Santa Clara County, San Diego County, Marin has worked on it. And it's happening, Vancouver is working on it. I mean, cities and counties around the nation are now recognizing that how we plan our communities, it's important to think about health. It's not just roads, it's health. One of our experts that came in and has talked to us for several years, his name is Dr. Richard Jackson. He's a national expert, and he said, we've designed our communities around our cars. We need to start designing our communities around our people. And so these are, in our county, first steps toward a larger goal. And while Philip is doing an outstanding job and will be gone in 9 months, I'll still be here. And, you know, you can count on me to keep pushing and trying to move this forward.
It's a final observation for me, and then I'll turn it over to everybody else. But it seems like this is a lifestyle and it's educational, and it probably starts at kindergarten. And
yes.
So it seems that you would either have or need buy-in from the school districts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we work in Oceana Elementary School. We work in the school districts. We do a lot of things, and it's, you know, this is part of it. But we do a lot of things on prevention. And you're right; it starts from a very young age.
I'll turn it. Does the board have any other questions?
Yeah. This is your thesis, correct?
Professional project. Yeah.
Okay. I actually used to work for the Department of Public Health in Los Angeles County. So when I read this, I was actually somewhat taken back. And then I started treating it as a generic template. And when I went to who you're going to reach outreach to, right, I realized that you were not in touch with Oceano. You were not familiar with the community. You didn't know who the community was. You listed the Oceano Women's Club. When did they meet last? In 82 or something, or 86? Yeah, so there were several, but you did list a Boys and Girls Club, and I see that, and they're a very active participant in the community. In order to exercise, it's hard to exercise when you're hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you talk about obesity, it's hard not to have heavy starch diets when you're hungry. And when you have to feed multiple people in a family on a very small budget. So I applaud you for putting up the economic impacts of some communities in the state of California. I don't think it's probably very accurate for Oceano. Secondly is I am a firm believer in prevention. But I don't think the Department of Public Health, and I don't think the National Institute of Health, or NIAID, or Cal Poly, is very interested in prevention because it's not as sexy as treatment. And that's the bottom line. It's not as sexy. So if you look at Oceano, right, where we have high drug use, which that means you're going to have high needle use, I saw nothing about disease prevention, nothing, not the word prevention at all. You know, so you talk about CHC, and I think that's wonderful. You're connected into CHC, but the people who go to CHC are people who are connected in. They're not the people who we're not capturing.
Yes.
So, you know, I hit you with all these questions, right? And to make you think, not to criticize you, but to make you think that when I read this, I go, okay, just think of it as a history lesson and a template, because it's not reflective of what we are. How would you, I'm going to ask you, how would you, and I've done lots of guerrilla theater, trust me, you know, how would you walk up to a tent and say, hey, let's go exercise?
Yeah, so part of the...
No, can you, you know, how would you, just think about that for a moment. How would you do that?
I'm not,
because we have
I don't
a lot
quite understand
of
the question.
People.
How would I walk up to a tent?
Yeah, because we have a lot of homeless people who
okay.
live in tents in Oceano, all along Coast Highway, all along the Duck Pond, all along in the parks, all along in the dunes. And so it's not a criticism, it's that I'm begging you, if you're going to use us for you to get your degree right, please create a document that is beneficial to us.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate your feedback, too. Part of this is to inform me. The reason why I'm here is to be informed about what's going on. I'm not a resident of Oceano. Part of the reason why I'm doing outreach is to get feedback from the community and regarding the issues that they're facing. So I'm not offended by you poking away at my presentation, and I accept what you're saying, and I'll be I'll definitely consider the things you said.
We don't have any fast food. We only have Sylvester's.
And Efren's.
And my last point is Vancouver has had Needle Exchange, which is a prevention program, in their city for 15 years, and they have less than 3% HIV infection. So,
and we have Needle Exchange in the county of San Luis Obispo, too.
Yes, we do. One-to-one exchange. Very familiar with
up
it.
To 30 needles, yeah. I manage that program, too. You sound like you would be, first of all, it's not Philip's intent to suggest anyone exercise. It's Philip's intent to ask people, what are the health issues in your community? And we want to interview individuals that can tell us, who should we talk to? That's why we're here. You sound like you'd be a perfect candidate for an interview, a one-to-one interview, and you would give us a lot of information. And so
yeah.
Philip would love to contact you and talk to you one-on-one.
Karen?
Yes. One of the things this community lacks is parks.
Right.
You cannot exercise if there's no parks.
Right.
That is the failing of the county of San Luis Obispo. They built a small community building which is not used on the only park that was in the center of town. And yeah, there's lots of parks in the beach if you're going to let your children walk across the highway and the train tracks.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that I am very angry about,
right.
And I realize there is no place for any parks in Oceano.
Right.
So that's one of the things I'm angry about. The other thing I want to know is who is funding this study and how much it costs.
There's no money involved.
No money involved?
No money is involved. Philip's getting his degree, and so we don't have a lot of money. You know, we use my copy machine to make copies. And,
okay.
You know, so we're not coming here rolling in dough.
Okay,
you know,
I was curious if it was funded by somebody.
No. Nope.
A grant or something.
No. Nope.
Okay, that makes me happy.
No, good. We'll interview you too. You know.
Lori.
I don't know anything.
you want parks, we know that.
Lori,
so,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just had a few brief questions I was hoping I could ask
yes.
you guys. What days are the best days to conduct outreach in Oceano?
Who are you trying to outreach to?
To the community.
I might say Sunday, but if you went probably by the Catholic Church.
Sunday by the Catholic Church.
And there's a little strip mall down there with some restaurants and stuff that seem to fill up.
Right.
Probably our downtown area. It's not that long, about 100 yards.
Right.
After school, around the school.
After school, the library, the Oceano Library is open 3 days. I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll double check. My wife usually takes the kids there, but I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they get a lot of participation. There's a lot of the Latino and Hispanic community that are using the computer lab there at the library, and so it's a very cool thing, and I would recommend those days. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Central Market.
Central Market is that's a good spot.
Central Market.
You might check with the Boys and Girls Club too. And there's also Open Door Church across from it. And there's also another church that the gentleman that has a little wrecking yard down here owns. And he brings barbecue all the time.
All the churches.
But just take a walk down Ocean Street. Just take a walk. Just start.
Mario De Leon, who works in the front office, is very plugged into the community, and you should check with him.
Mario De Leon.
De Leon.
Yeah, just walk down the street and it'll come to you.
Yeah.
And spend some time over at the lagoon on Saturdays because don't they feed?
Sometimes once a month.
Once a month over there?
Once a month, yeah. I don't know what day that is.
And the church has a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. It's a diverse demographic in Oceano.
Yeah.
Are there any pressing health issues that you're aware of in the community?
Drug addiction.
Drug and alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
Drug addiction. Drug addiction. Drug addiction.
Poverty.
Yes.
Right.
The large families.
The only treatment programs are ones that community members have come together.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Mosquitoes.
That's a good one. That's
yeah. Well, I mean, you don't think of that, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We think of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't think of it off the top of my head.
And perhaps, Mr. Brennan, if you could leave us an email or some way to contact you.
Sure.
And if we think of anything, you know, sometimes at 3 in the morning we come up with our best ideas.
No problem.
We can send you an email.
That'd I'll definitely
great.
Do that.
If you could get that to Marie, she could.
I will.
Yes. Another thing you might look at, I'm not positive, but substandard housing.
Yes.
Because this board does not have any control over building or housing. That belongs to the county, so talk to them about it.
We do.
And although I know you said that you weren't expecting that the farmers market would be open before, there is a committee that's working on it, which
right.
is, I'm sure there are some residents that would be interested in speaking with you. So
maybe going to a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate the time, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Brennan.
You.
Thank you, Ms. Carley. Thank you very much. We'll move on to. We'll move on to item number 6A. Sheriff South Station Commander is not here. We'll move on to 6B. OCSD Administration General Manager Lonnie Curtis.
May I interject for one moment, yes. President Guerrero? I just want to clarify that you had asked Mr. Curtis to respond to the Lopez item during his general manager's report. Was that correct?
Yes, because that was a will serve. I think that's. Part that was a will serve request that came in, but the
it wasn't on the agenda, so I'm just going to advise the board not to have a separate discussion item
okay.
or action item on it. But to the extent that Mr. Curtis wants to include that in his report, then that would I know that you were interested in this because Ms. Lopez is here. That would
right.
give Ms. Lopez an opportunity to discuss it to the board, and we can bring it. I would advise the board to bring it back then as an item. Next time.
And I think as I understand it, which my understanding is imperfect, is that it may be clarified once we discuss the 8B appeal of the will serve letter, the issues may overlap and we may be able to provide some clarity to staff and to Ms. Lopez about might resolve her issue.
Thank you.
So,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good evening, President Guerrero. I'll start off then with the Lopez project. It's our project number 6467. They've asked for an estimate of water connection fees and the like for their project, and it was calculated using our current rate schedule that for the water connection charges it would be $7,612.92, for the sewer connection fees $525, so for a total water and sewer $8,137.92. This is an estimate. It could go up, could go down, but hopefully it's not a case we go back asking for more money. If anything, we would refund money that's unspent, that's in excess of what we had estimated them to be. A lot of it has to do with the connection charge, the capacity charge, readiness to serve, and all our charges that are codified with the district. So following the district's code for services, the services are broken down individually and collectively. They come to the total of $8,137. Everybody that comes in for fees, they get the same breakdown for what it is going to cost for a connection to the water and sewer services that we provide, that we own, operate, and maintain. And Ms. Lopez has approached us with a letter that she'd like to address the board, but they've not been treated any differently than any other customer that does come in, any other citizen that addresses this issue at the counter with me and with staff. That's the issue on the Lopez matter. I don't know if you want to hear from the Lopez.
Well, she'll have the opportunity to address any public comment if she'd like.
Okay. Separately then, it was interesting, it's too bad they left, the folks, we could use some of their advocacy with the health issues with water conservation and things that are going around The governor has declared a drought emergency in the state of California, and with that, there's a lot of things in play. We'd like to see a lot more conservation. We do have handout material at our counter now that had been put away for a while when water was a little more plentiful. At the same time, it never really was super plentiful, so we always are looking for conservation and the like. So we have that for the customers at the counter. On operations-wise, we're currently inventorying existing facilities so that we can put together by end of this month the pro forma and the like for the board, so you can see where we're at a little bit, snapshot in time, looking into the future about where we're going on both the water and sewer. I was out today. We had an extensive leak in our pipeline on Warner Street between Paso and 22nd, and it was on 22nd rather, and it was very bad. It required us to call out additional help, a Vactor from have that serviced at $200 per hour, along with three of our staff members all day long, overtime and the like. So it was quite extensive. It was an extensive break. I was out there several times today, trying to give direction and focus on what I thought would be a good way to go on some of this, and the staff did an excellent job. They buttoned it up, and we'll put a permanent patch in the meantime. When we go and repair a patch, or we go and have a line break like that, it requires a lot of coordination, not only with the internal staff and the customers around that area. They are affected. They get sand and the like in their lines, and so we will get complaints from the citizens that they have certain things in their water, like sand or air, and we try to prevent that from happening, but it's almost inescapable, and we can't prevent this. At the same time, we try to do our level best with trying to give best-in-class service to the customers in Oceano, that we are trying to work for the benefit of everybody and to get the line repaired. The line has since been repaired. The new service has been connected. A new meter has been installed, and we're moving forward on this. But this is just today's problem of the day, meter of the day. You know, so it's like soup du jour. We have issue du jour, sewer du jour, water du jour.
Lonnie, so. Let me ask you. I'm going to stop you for a second because I too was out at that site today. And I did see the amount of work that was having to go into the crew, and so I didn't ask them this personally, but how are they keeping up with like the performa, their reports, the documenting every move, and keeping the lines, because they're getting bust left and right now because we've hit this mark on old materials, and so we're going to get more and more and more and more. So how does a small crew really juggle that?
Well, we beg, borrow, and steal. No, we do try to keep up as best we can. The staff today, in fact, was scheduled for training outside of the district for confined space entry and the like, and being certified for confined spaces, which we do have some. And so the staff had to put that off. We've had to reschedule that. They just finished reading meters. It's just every day is an issue of the day, and they do a good job. Those gentlemen that are out there working are working really hard for the
district.
Yeah,
they are. I just can't understand how they're doing all the paperwork and doing the field work.
Well, the tough part of that is the paperwork and the documentation and the like. I was reviewing the plans of the current water and sewer facilities that we do have. These facilities go in the sewer side, they go back to 1950 in the 50s. Some of the water lines are, we have areas with water lines of a 2-inch steel. These have surely ran their life cycle. They were put in the 60s. So they're some 50 to 60 years old, some of these facilities. This particular line break was on a pipeline that was installed in 1970. And so we're already at 44 years, entering the 44th year. The pipeline itself was not manufactured here, so you got to figure it was sitting on the shelf or in the yard somewhere for about a year before it got here. So, these things are at least reaching their life cycle on many of our facilities. And I have a complete dossier of our sewer system, of the problems that we do have, and I'll be bringing that forward to the appropriate committee when we meet on infrastructure and discuss this, because it's overwhelming, and it's very costly, it's very expensive. The leak today, just excess labor outside of ourselves, probably was on the order of $2,000 for one single event for labor outside of us. So this is not an inexpensive proposition. It's very expensive, as a matter of fact. And so many of our facilities are at their life cycle, are at their maximum use capacity and the like. And it's very troubling to see this occur, and it happens on a routine and daily basis, but we're trying to keep up and fight the good fight, and they're doing it now, but we need more money, more funding, more everything, I guess. The other thing I want to talk about beyond the water and sewer and the age of the facilities and the like and our mapping and what information we do have, it's very sketchy at best, so trying to piece the puzzle together is very difficult. But I'm trying to do my best, as well as the staff that's helping me, that has some history there, and we put it together, and we'll present that to the board shortly. It's interesting what's going on in our community is the pipes are a day older every day. So that, you know, just not only with the health of the community, the people in the community, the health of our facilities is really poor, and it is on the razor's edge. And sometimes, like today, it cuts us and it hurts and it costs us because there hasn't been a good preventative maintenance. And I know I'm singing to the choir and letting you all know this, but you know, the only way we can address this is to first recognize it, put a plan in place, and go after it and try to make it better into the future. And when that plan is brought full circle with the board, I'll be presenting what our findings are to the committee and then to the full board, and we'll move forward. Like I started out with, the governor's, you know, has a drought proclamation and the like, and I've been sending particularly on the Friday reports to the board, additional correspondence has been in the newspaper, something that you may have missed, or it's been elsewhere. We've collected that, and I hope you like that on the end of the Friday report, so that you can see those articles of what's going on around us, not just specifically here, but we are part of a bigger picture. What's going on not only here, but there's also Arroyo, there's Grover, there's Pismo, and then the greater San Luis Obispo County area, and then into California with water as a whole. So anything, I've been collecting that, and I've made that a point to make that as an addendum on the end of the Friday report. So now I'll continue with that, except for the week we have board, like this week. Last Friday was a busy Friday, so we had to postpone that Friday report. So you'll get a little bit of a double dose this week. Next, let's see. Our staff member that was authorized to take his Class A driver's license has passed. We do have a Class A driver on staff, so we can do that. We can go rent a Class A required driver vehicle, and that person can then tow our Vector around until such time as we've handled that particular issue too. So I think with that, I will finish my comments. With that, oh, separately, one other thing that's critical. Our groundwater basin continues to see subsidence in the groundwater level because of the drought. And I've seen this at the NCMA meetings and the like, and we're providing information to set forth a better picture so it can be brought forward in the total community of the North County. Management area, so all of us can see and we're all on the same page. I can assure you that the water managers are on the same page, and we're bringing it all to our management of whoever's managed, be it a city council or in our case the board here. I'll bring it forward. So active participation by us is really necessary at all these committees and meetings, the Water Resource Advisory Committee and the Zone 3, the Zone 1, 1A, that was canceled this past month. So some of the stuff has been put on the back burner simply because of the drought. So with that ends my comments.
Could I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wondered what specifically caused that water break today, if you knew specifically whether it was corroded joint or whether it was a line or...
It was the line.
The water line break was in the middle of the road, which is usually unusual. It's usually on one side or another because of the loading and stuff by a heavier truck and the like. I don't know the area well enough to say whether or not it was a water hammer or something of that nature that could have broken and caused that leak, but it was massive and then it undermined the street. We had to take out a big chunk of the street. We have to go back and pave it. It's a county road, and we have to bring it back to county road standards. That's the way it works. So we're in there at our own peril to bring it back to county road standards when we leave. So it's a piece of work. But why did it break? The age has something to do with it, I can assure you. But this, more than that, I wouldn't gander a guess.
So the big line.
It's that cheap green pipe. It's that cheap green pipe that's in there. And there are more and more semis that are going up 22nd Street than 23rd Street, because 23rd, they used to just shoot up.
Right.
You know, they only had one stop sign and then they could blow through. But they're now switching over to 22nd, which makes more sense, except for one resident had all those speed bumps put in there. And so you hit a speed bump and you come down on the road real hard. You hit a speed bump and come down on the road real hard. But it was age and...
How big a pipe?
I think it
was... The main pipeline was 6-inch, but what it was the water lateral off of our 6-inch. And therein lies a problem, because the water lateral is more often than not, and in this case I believe it was polybutylene. It's a very... It'll fracture on age, and as it ages, it loses its flexibility over time, and so therefore it breaks. Ultimately, it breaks because it doesn't have that life cycle and flexibility to itself like other better lines do. I recommend the superintendent that our standard is going to be putting in soft copper, K copper, because it's a lot more forgiving. It takes a lot less repair. It's a little bit more expensive on the front end, but it's a lot better facility on the back end.
I can't. There's like an echo in this room.
Can you guys keep it down back there, Jeff?
My question was, doesn't copper corrode a lot with our water? All my copper in my house is now plastic. Sorry.
No, I understand that. Copper does corrode. But if it's good quality copper, K copper, and if there's any kind of electrolysis, we would know that ahead of time. It normally does not corrode to the extent that other lines do. PVC has its own problems. If we do use PVC, we use Schedule 80, which is much better than Schedule 40. It's more fortified. The wall thickness is thicker and the material is slightly different that makes the heavy duty polyvinyl chloride piping.
Thank you.
Sure.
I think the break, I mean, the continual breaks just underscore our need for this process that we're going through. I know that it adds more time and more work, but I think that it just is really important for moving forward so that we don't have to deal with this in the future. I have a question about the conservation. I know you said that you have information on the counter. Is there also a possibility we could, if the board would like to, put a note in the bill? I know there's like a little comment section that we can maybe highlight conservation in the future. Just put a little comment in there.
We can put a comment section in the bill stuffer, such as they are, and include that with our... it's really important. Any kind of public information gets out there and addresses that and provides just even a pleasant reminder that, you know, we're in a drought, folks. Think twice about running that faucet while you're brushing your teeth or what have you. It's really important, but we can do that.
Yeah, if the board is interested. I just thought I'd bring it up. My question, let's see. So now we can drive a Class A truck. Do you know what the cost of that would be or how it compares to buying a truck? Or do you know, are we keeping that other truck that was purchased before?
We're looking at that. I'm looking at that because while the truck itself is a pretty strong truck, it's still not a Class A truck that can pull that trailer, unfortunately. So I don't want to invest good money after that truck at this point in time. So we are looking at those facilities that we do have, the trucks and the rolling stock that we have.
Yeah, and renting versus purchasing a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'd be interested in further information on that.
Okay.
Also, what is the status of our generator and replacing that?
Are you talking about the generator on Well 8 on the other side of the sheriff's department here?
I think Jocelyn knows more. You probably know, but I didn't talk to Jocelyn.
I'm sorry?
Jocelyn, I think, was doing a lot of work on that, if I'm not mistaken.
We've been talking about Jocelyn went over and surveyed it with me, and we're looking there's two parts to that. One's the CAT motor, the diesel, and the other is the generator that is the electric producer. So you have the driver that turns, and then the turbine or the motor rather that generates electricity. So it is two part.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's probably the biggest bugaboo on this whole thing is there's about, I would estimate, 5,000 gallons of diesel fuel attached to it, and there's not spill containment enough for it, and the like. So it really represents a clear and present risk to anybody, particularly the district. So mm-hmm. We need to get rid of the diesel. We need to get rid of that particular generator or that motor and go to natural gas if it can be converted, and then buy a new turbine that will produce the electricity needed and with an automatic transfer switch so that when the power fails, it goes on automatically and runs, and when power is reestablished, it has a cool down period where it turns off too. I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, I was just curious where we were in the process of replacing it.
Yeah, we're looking at that right now, as a matter of fact. Yes.
So is that now a priority?
Well,
because I have to tell you is that when it was crammed through the Class A license without having a Class A truck in the fleet, I got somewhat confused on what this board and staff's priorities were, because I was led to believe that the generator was the priority, and staff took it upon themselves to make a Class A license a priority without having that piece of equipment on staff. So, you know, I have to stand back and say, are we going to change priorities now, or are we going to stick to this generator being the priority?
Well, my understanding, we implement board policy, and I make sure that staff does that. I implement board policy.
But the policy of the board, when policy's made,
right?
No.
Well, that was the thing with the Class A, and everything was, I'll say, before my time or right as I came on board. But nevertheless, that's in the rearview mirror now. But right now, the generator is a top shelf item that we are pursuing because it represents a problem and a risk that we should endure, you know, if we can prevent it from happening, and I believe we can. It's just taking us a little time. Everything's taking time.
And that's fine, just so long as the priorities don't flip in the middle of the night and it becomes a personal priority versus an organizational priority.
I have no personal priorities. I have the board's policies, and I implement them.
Okay, great.
Is there any other questions? All right, thank you, Lonnie. We'll go to item number 7, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo?
Okay, I attended the NCMA meeting along with Lonnie. You were there, weren't you?
Yep.
And you made it too for NCMA and Zone 3? It's NCMA. All three of us showed up. That's right.
Lauren, can you pull your microphone up, please?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
NCMA. Mostly what they're very much concerned with is the contour and the water wells that are out there and checking the process of the elevations on them. There's been some discussion about maybe doing some other test wells. I think right now it's kind of been set not to do at this particular time because we've already got issues with the wells we already have. And personally, I don't see putting a new test well is going to make any difference. However, because of the severity of the drought, and they are showing the wells are slowly dropping, there's a bigger concern. So there's possibly looking at some of the other existing wells throughout, and maybe we can do some testing with the ones that are already there that they haven't tested already. They're trying to stay more in our area for the water information and the contour mapping and that type of thing, because we have wells that are like right on in our area, but they're also on the border of Napoleon Basin. So I, from what I can understand, is they're really planning to try to do the whole thing as far as getting the contours through where we need to be, where all of our wells run, even the ones down to the ocean, and also possibly one or two of the others. Lonnie and I had discussed another area that we might give some opinions into testing the wells that are already existing that haven't been tested. And that was kind of a discussion, pretty much all water and the lake dropping and the rivers that are not flowing down through there. I know Mary was in Washington and she said that the snow up there was pretty limited and was already starting to melt somewhat. So we're going to see it coming from the north, not as much as we would expect. Now, if we could pipeline from the east here, we'd have all kinds of water. But that's not financially feasible either. And so we also had their budget out this week. I have started reading through it. I haven't continued or got it finished up. But they're projecting, you know, similar budget. They do have a project that they're wanting to do, and that is the sixth rack. They want to... I know Karen knows about it too, that they want to go ahead and install and get up running for that. In order to do that, they're planning to do a fund transfer from our budget for 14-15, 15-16, and to borrow from that now to pay for it to get it up and going so we have another rack system ready to go. And then down
that's
the line.
Zone 3 Lopez, right?
Yes, yeah. Zone 3
so
Lopez.
Northern
I'm
city.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They're kind of like all connected. That's zone three.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of, they go from one to the next. So that has been approved by everybody that, you know, we can save about $25,000. And they're looking forward to getting that done as soon as possible. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I think that was about it. That's the big thing is water right now. Everybody's very nervous about the water situation.
So Lori, I looked at the agenda for the northern cities, right, because mm-hmm. I was out of state. Was there, I didn't see any fiscal issues on that agenda, just regurgitating, you know, priorities.
Yes, that's pretty much what they do.
So can I ask staff why we had our fiscal staff member at a policy meeting? Because I, you know, am chasing the pennies now, you know, and if we're not utilizing our staff to the best of our ability and letting the board and supervisors handle the policy meetings, then something's not right.
One of the reasons that I've asked Jocelyn to attend several of these meetings with me is because of her financial expertise and seeing what it is that they're requesting of us, and so that we don't have the money rather than saying, what don't we have, how can we participate, are we participating where we shouldn't otherwise. So I can bring that back to the board and give you a full idea of what's going on around us from a financial standpoint. So that's the main reason.
Can you in the future just bring the document back and hand it to them if there's a fiscal impact?
Many times I can do that, but other times with other things, and we interact with Arroyo and with Grover in particular, and what we're looking at on wells and the like and how it affects our take of different waters. Jocelyn's done a really, really good job with our portfolio of water, the surface, the ground, and the state project water and the like, and timing of that so that how it affects our budget and the like too. So, you know, it has been beneficial to this date. Otherwise, you know, I would see no reason for that, as you're stating, Mary.
Yeah, I just look at how much it costs us each hour that we have staff duplicated in meetings, and we were looking at probably $75 to $100 an hour on that meeting, and I read their minutes and I attend them, and I don't see the justification there. I'm sorry, you know, it might be a different of opinions, but they don't make decisions. They take it back to their boards like we do, and so there's plenty of time to take it to your fiscal, you know, department as well.
Okay.
I think that the lines between policy is starting to get merged.
Director Blackburn?
My Zone 1A meeting was canceled, like Mr. Curtis mentioned. I did attend NAPOMO CSD's strategic planning meeting, their initial one. That was very interesting. I think that all that planning and getting the ideas about the priorities out is really important, and would suggest that we pursue that. I don't think that we have to have all of our ducks in a row first before we do that, because it will help us get our ducks in a row, I think. So I would suggest that we pursue that very soon. And I believe that if we wanted to have somebody come in out of the office to facilitate that, that the RCAC, and I actually can't remember what they stand for, will help in that area. They will have somebody come down and facilitate that. So I can look into that if needed.
And the RCAC is who?
The Rural Community Action Partnership, maybe?
Linda Chippen.
I don't actually know who our person is in this area. Okay. But I can look into that if...
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
All right. That's not all you got. Friday morning, you have a finance committee meeting.
That's true. Please attend, public.
We did set that in, and the agenda item is to talk about an RFP for an expert to try to help identify funding sources, be they what they may be. We'll report on that back when we...
You're gonna review an RFP?
We're going to develop one.
For... Is it in the annual budget?
Not yet. No, but...
Are you going to transfer funds?
We don't know yet. You know, we're going to discuss how to do it.
Do you know how many times we released an RFP for grant writers?
No, I don't know the number.
Okay, we have three. We have three grant writers that we have reviewed applications. We have brought it to the board. And the money has never been put into the annual budget except for 1 year, 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm a little confused. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's part of it. We'll bring it back to the board, but the discussion is in part that it's not happening. It's not happening. Since I've been here, there's been no.
Well, I would look to the finances and say, do we have a contract still with grant writers? Because we do have.
I have not seen one. I have not seen a contract for grant writing.
And Maureen, you were here when the grant writers were brought on too, when those proposals were reviewed. So yeah, there's two proposals in this office that have been approved by this board.
Well, then we'll have them pulled.
Yeah, we can have staff look at it before Friday.
We'll have them pulled.
And also too, under our engineer contract, there is a line item for grant writing.
Well, we've got to do, and this is part of the discussion, is we've got to make it happen, because it's not happening. I mean, because so far in the last 3 years that I've been here, it's never gotten past us. You know, I'm not familiar with a single grant application or a single anything that's gone out to try to bring money. Well, except for the earthquake money that came in from 10 years ago, but there's not been anything that's gone out to try to bring money into the district. And so... I don't know what those opportunities are.
Yeah, we've released two RFPs for that. Oh. And also, too, is that in the existing engineer contract we have right now, there is a line item in there for grant writing.
Okay. Well, we can check with Doug, see if he's got any ideas.
I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation Plant District meeting last Wednesday, and basically the punchline is that we approved a 2.93% cost of living adjustment for the staff. About, I don't know, 8-10 months ago, we did a rate survey, and we were about 8% behind in losing staff members with other plants hiring. So staff rates were brought up, And if you'll recall, we saved significant amounts of money in administration and operation expenses. The plant is running within budget, and it's a balanced budget this year for the first time in many, many years. And so given that, it was the appropriate thing to do. It was a unanimous decision by the board to approve this COLA adjustment, which is something this board should probably look into for our own employees as well, to make sure that we're competitive and can retain, can recruit and maintain the best employees. So,
and how much was that?
2.93%. I think, don't quote me, I'd have to check the staff report, but I think the total budget impact to the district is about $16,000 a year for that 2.93%. So,
now we'll go in next year's annual budget.
Yes, it's effective now, but it's already in the budget.
Yeah, but when we develop our budget.
Oh, for OCSD.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I'm not suggesting next week we have it, but it's something that I think it also ties into the pro forma is making sure that deciding whether or not we want to be competitive, and if we do decide we want to be competitive, finding out what that means and bringing it in to the budgets as we present this forward. So, and I don't know the answer when the last time there was a COLA adjustment for the OCSD. Is it 2 years ago?
Okay.
I didn't look at it up. I didn't. Marie says it's been longer than that. I don't recall. So.
It wasn't in the annual budget last year. It was in the annual budget the year before.
Marie, can you use the mic?
Well, you can find out when it was.
I can, but
and
there.
And the personnel committee should see that so we can.
Yeah. They're in discussions of budgets since probably 2011. There's been no cost of living.
Yeah, during the recession, I think everybody did a freeze and everybody did, most people did furloughs and things like that.
Well, there were concessions.
And bypassed the COLA, but I think we're at a point now where we need to implement it.
There were even concessions by a lot. The Five Cities Fire Authority workers gave concessions. The Roy Grandy city workers, I believe, gave concessions in their retirement. The Sheriff's Department, I believe, gave concessions. So.
Yeah.
The last in-depth budget that I reviewed when I first came here, there had been talk about a COLA, but it was never implemented, and this was when Raphael was still the general manager.
Right. Vice President Lucy?
No, didn't attend anything.
All right. Director White?
Yeah, I attended Zone 3 Tech, but that she's already pretty well covered that. I could report that Lopez Dam has still got about 50% water, and the water people at the Tech said that they thought there was enough water for this year, for everybody. So that was something good to hear. I also was at the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting, and there has been a change in dispatching. City of Roy Grandy is rebuilding their police station. They will not be dispatching for the Roy Grandy Fire Department part of the Five Cities Fire Authority. All the dispatching is going to go to Grover Beach, which already does Grover and Oceano. The Roy Grandy Police Department's police dispatching will be through the county sheriff's department. But for the first time, all the dispatching will be in one place, and the cost is going to be Roy Grandy covered their part of it. They will cover it to Grover, and it's still being worked out by the Roy Grandy city manager and the Grover city manager, but it doesn't look like there'll be any added cost to Five Cities Fire Authority. But, you know, there's been discussion on and off about unified fire dispatch.
Yeah.
And by default, we're going to have it for a while. So we'll see what happens.
Well, hopefully it's efficient and goes well. We're going to move to the consent agenda at this time, and I'll announce that we'll take a break after that before the business items for the board and the public to have the opportunity to review the staff report. Item number 8, the first thing up is public comment. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda this evening? Mr. Edwards, good evening again.
Thank you, Mr. President. Point of order, are you taking any public comment on the special presentation?
If you'd like to, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had remarks for both consent and for the presentations, GM report and board member report. So they're really two separate items on the agenda. I'll try to keep my remarks brief.
Hold on 1 second, Jeff.
Sure.
We can restart your time. It's, you and I have been dialoguing. So, and we also have public comment for the special meeting as well. So there's actually a few more public comment times during this.
I think this will be my last shot, if I may.
Sure, go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards is my name. I did want to comment on the operations report from the GM. And first of all, I believe it's inappropriate to discuss the Lopez matter, as it's not an agendized item. Additionally, you do have an agendized will serve letter appeal that there was no staff report until just when your meeting started. So I take issue with that. As I've mentioned before, the district is fundamentally a water company. Mm-hmm. And these will serve letters that you're seeing are for remodels. This isn't new construction. Yet it appears your general manager is treating these projects as new construction and charging them accordingly. I think he's flying upside down on this matter, frankly, Mr. President. These requests, these applications should basically be over-the-counter requests. You know, you come in and pay some nominal fees and be done with it. You're having a chilling effect on redevelopment and reinvestment in Oceano. Why would anybody want to buy a home to remodel if they have to pony up 10 grand for water service and sewer service they already have? I mean, it defies logic. You talk about being user-friendly, you are entire unfriendly. And these are existing customers. This isn't new development. Clearly, if it were new development, they would be paying their fair share. So, the primary reason these folks are having to upgrade their services for fire protection. So if there's a fire that starts in their home, it doesn't burn the neighborhood down. Do you want to encourage that or discourage that? That's a question to your board. I don't know where your general manager's coming from. Perhaps he's looking for a way to pay his exorbitant salary. I would like to move on to the consent agenda, if I may, and cash disbursements specifically. It's come to my attention, and this is under the category of, does your board know? Because I'm not sure all of your board does know. But you remember the Langstaff matter, and you remember your insurance company, Philadelphia Insurance. Well, as it turns out, you were canceled. Now you have a new carrier, and so you're paying a new company. And there was some question about why you shifted carriers. It wasn't because they gave you a better deal. You got canned by the old carrier. And as I understand it, Marie McGrath handles the insurance matters, and I'm not sure if she's laid that out for your board in explicit detail. Again, you may recall the Langstaff matter, and if I may,
you
Mr. President.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, I will. The Langstaff matter was handed over to Philadelphia Insurance, and the insurance company claims that they canceled it because of expenses exceeding 6 times their premium income. So this Langstaff matter was very costly, not only to Philadelphia, but to this district. It continues to be Tom Geeslin, collateral damage.
Thank you, Jeff. If you want to wait till
you're entirely welcome. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker. And just by the public in the room with your will serve customers that are here, one has hired an attorney to represent him. He's paying him to sit here through this meeting. That liability is on that general manager. The government code is expressly clear on what capacity charges are, and Mr. Curtis has completely and entirely misinterpreted what capacity means. So if you need the code number, I can give it to you, but there's a well-defined definition of what capacity charges are, and these two customers are not eligible for that in their request. I want to thank you for putting the minutes back on the agenda. I don't know if you know what happened last time, but they were approved without the benefit of the public's ability to participate. The November 22nd minutes, Mr. Curtis asked to go to a water conference. There was no staff report prior to the meeting. Something was plopped on your desk that day. That should be in the minutes. The Calaware letter that drove you into closed session should be included in the minutes. The December 11th meeting, you had an audit presentation. No link, no audit as part of the minutes. You had a Brown Act presentation. Mr. Curtis has gone back retroactively, and this is very dangerous. You do not change history in a government entity. Your website now reflects the PowerPoint presentation that your legal counsel gave that night in those minutes that you've already approved. You need to reapprove them tonight with a thorough PowerPoint presentation now, not 2 weeks ago. Take a look at that. That is, it's bizarre. Mr. Curtis is rewriting history. I gave you a handout on December 11th. I'd like that included in the minutes. I discussed the hazard mitigation plan. The minutes suggest I said something about disaster plan. Entirely different things. And if you don't know what that is, then something's definitely wrong in this district. Hazard mitigation plan, I'd like those minutes clarified. Office holiday schedule Mr. Curtis handed out. Because there's no staff reports, those items that are plopped on you at the board meetings need to be in the next set of minutes so that the record is clear and the record is reflected. Your agenda for Friday's Finance Committee violates the Brown Act.
Thank you
once again.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll close public comment at this time. We'll move to the consent agenda. There's items A through E. I actually did have a question on the cash disbursements. Why are we reapproving cash disbursements from January 8th?
Because I believe that the public did not have a chance to comment on the items before the board took action.
Can I have clarification from legal counsel? Can you please explain to me one more time the difference between a consent agenda item and a non-consent agenda item?
Yes, I think, Director Lucy, that you had asked me a question, and I think that at the last meeting I was making a distinction between consent items, which generally there's no discussion on, and general business items, which there is board discussion on, unless consent items are pulled off the business agenda. There was an issue raised regarding that. In order to just be as transparent as possible, I suggested to the board that those items be brought back and improved, reapproved along with the consent agenda items tonight.
Okay, my point is that I have no problems bringing it back, right? Keep bringing it back so people can see it. I'm fine with that. What I have issue with is the process. If it's under consent, it's not up for discussion. If there needs to be discussion on it, it needs to be pulled and put on as an agenda item. Otherwise, consent, there's no discussion. There's no questions. If there's questions from the public or from staff, then you list it as a regular agenda item. You pull it from the consent agenda. Consent is to pass things in a block.
Yeah, you are correct.
To make things efficient.
You are correct.
Okay, so why is it that we cannot do that?
It's not a matter of being able to do. You can do that. It's just a question. There was a question about whether or not the public had the opportunity to have preliminary comments about that prior to the board passing them in a block. So to err on the side of caution.
So I would really recommend that the cash disbursements be not included in the consent agenda because it is expenditures and there's going to be questions. So we can do minutes and things like that, right? that I don't think that we should include consent cash.
Into the consent going forward?
On the consent area
going
of
forward?
The agenda.
Going forward?
Going forward, yes.
Okay. So starting February 12th, we'll peel that off?
Peel it off consent and make it an agenda. Put it, you know, put it with the under reports.
That's fine.
I think it, under reports or action items or.
Well, if that's the case, I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
I'd like to abstain from November 13th.
Okay.
No, second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. We have passes and any opposed? And we have an abstention, right?
Just on that one
just on
day.
Okay.
The rest of my final.
Okay. So it passes with the exception of November 13th passes by a board vote of 4-0. The rest of it passes by a board vote of 5-0, I think would be the correct way. Does that work, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll take a break at this time. It's 8 o'clock. Why don't we take, it'll probably take me at least 10 minutes to read through this. We'll reevaluate at 8:10. Might have to go to 8:15 to give everybody a chance to review this board agenda item packet for 9B. Adjourn at this time. We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8:23 p.m. Oceana Community Services District. We have adjourned so that the board could review the recently received staff packet. We also received a letter from Belcher, Becker, and Roberts, who are present. I think for interest of time, we should move straight to item 9B, the appeal of the will serve letter, subject APN 062-041-075, OCSD project 6466. This is the board sitting and hearing the appeal. I think for purposes of procedure for this appeal, I would recommend that we have Mr. Curtis lay out the position of staff on this particular item, and I would then ask a representative of the appellant, who is the McCalls, by and through their attorney or through the person, to present their position. I will then ask Mr. Minery for any analysis that he has done regarding these items, and then I will give Mr. McCall, the McCall party, an opportunity to respond to the items that were raised, and then the board can deliberate and make a decision. Is there any objection to that procedure?
No.
President Guerrero, do you want to first check to see if there's any public comment other than the appellant and his attorney?
Is there any public comment on this particular item? Oh, yes, we do have public comment at this time. All right, nobody's standing up. We will move forward with the appeal of the will serve. And so we'll start with Mr. Curtis. If you could explain what we have here in front of us and the justification for it.
Thank you, President Guerrero. What I have placed in front of you and also is available for the public at their at the binder for the public is the status of a project that was submitted to the district some time back. Communications go back into 2012, as I recall from previous documents. This particular project, however, was brought to me, I believe, around October 29th, and I talked to the applicant, and we went over the required requirements of the project and what the fees would be and the like. And he requested, the applicant requested services for project number 6466, that's OCSD project number. I reviewed the project with Mr. McCall several times over the last 2 months and discussed the district fees required from the applicant. Mr. McCall referenced that he was informed by his OCSD staff that the fees would be approximately $1,900 plus or minus a little bit. And he picked up the will serve letter to find out, and he was astonished that it was $11,312.76. I investigated Mr. McCall's position with staff that previous communicated with OCSD staff and found that the amount was solely for the installation of a one-inch meter by the district. And that was what the $1,900 revolved around. It didn't have anything to do with our fees, charges, and our schedule. So he heard two different messages, one from staff and one from the new general manager, myself, that fees are required by the new construction and the like. And we talked about the construction, and he made it clear that he was simply adding 50 square feet. He was rehabbing and rebuilding an existing structure, and all he was needing was the one-inch meter. And I explained to him that for the purpose of the district, it's not considered new construction, or it's not considered previous construction and a tear down and a rehab. What it is it's new construction, and with that go charges commensurate with what has been passed by previous boards here at the district. And my job was to implement those fees and schedules. With that, we talked multiple times, like I said. I sent a letter to Mr. McCall after our last board meeting requesting that he do attend this meeting. And he came in yesterday. We talked a little bit more. And I didn't have the staff report ready at the time. But he has since been provided, and his attorney's been provided it. What it's done is it's enumerated the fees and charges, both the water and sewer connection fees and charges, capacity charges and the like, for new construction. And my recommendation is that the board accept this project with the agreement with the approved fees and charges for the water and sewer in the amount of $11,312.76. And authorize staff to execute a will serve letter for this project. That completes my report, Mr. President.
And Mr. Curtis, how is it that you determined this was a new construction versus a remodel or some other legal definition?
New construction in that it's required to have new capacity. I'll use one item as an example, one being fire flow. The fire authority reviewed the plans, and they require one-inch service. Previously, it had a 5/8 service. The capacity of that new construction requires that it have a one-inch meter so that it has the capacity to function its fire sprinkler system. That is completely new. It's new code. It wasn't in place when the existing structure was built. This is new since, I believe, around 1986 or so. And subsequent additions of the Uniform Building Code, Uniform Fire Code, and the like. So it's considered new construction by code. They're having to follow a new code. These are the existing fees that are today's reality, not what was here 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and the like. So they're having this impressed upon them that this is new construction. That's what we see it as. That's what I see it as. It is not. While it may be viewed as a rehab or a rebuild, it's new construction in every facet, except that it's only improving the square footage by 50 square feet from 1150 to 1200. But at the same time, it's 1200 that's fire flow protected. And I realize it does have new fixtures in it that have ultra low flush, old toilets. It's got devices, sinks, and the like that are low water using. They're required now. This is nothing new to me, but it's new to any construction that's new. That is considered new construction. You cannot put a 5-gallon toilet in these days. You got to put a 1.3-gallon toilet in these days for per flush. And those are the type of things, faucets, shower heads, everything is required to be low flush, conservation, water sense, approved and the like to build a new structure and change plumbing this way. It's required to have additional flow. It requires the district, as I see it, to have that capacity to deliver on a moment's notice the capacity to feed the fire sprinkler system. That capacity is in excess of what was there before. That is new capacity. So as the items are itemized out, you'll see a deduction for $675, and that was for the original meter charge for 5/8. So I'm not trying to double dip the individual, but the other fees and many may not have been in place when the original structure were built, but structures that are new today have this fee schedule.
Aren't they already connected to the sewer? There's a $500 sewer connection fee.
They are connected to the sewer, but by the same token, their capacity is different because they have different availability to deliver more water into that sewer.
Did you do any looking at prior like-kind projects and what fees were charged by the OCSD for those particular projects?
Not those in particular. What I did do is look at neighboring agencies, Santa Maria as an example, and Grover and Arroyo Grande, and they charge in excess of these fees that you have before you.
For a similar project?
For a similar project. For example, Santa Maria would be in excess of $15,000.
So the front footage charge, that is essentially the lateral that is going from the main to the meter. Is that true?
Pardon me? The front footage charge,
yeah,
is if you looked at the piece of property on the front, there's a baseline fee, okay? And then with that, there's a numerical value placed on how many feet it is to the base fee, and then every foot costs another $86 a foot, I believe it is.
From the main to the meter?
No, across the front. The main to the meter, it's not with respect to that.
Okay.
But if they already have a water line going to their house, whether it's 3/4 inch, 5/8 inch, or 1 inch, why would they have to then pay the front footage fee again?
Because they're going to have to be in compliant with what our standards are today so as to feed the 1 inch water meter. And anything that goes, any appurtenant structure that goes with that, be it a lateral, corp stop, the entire project. This is an estimate, too. If it's less, be glad to provide a refund.
And then the Lopez Dam improvement charge, wouldn't they have already paid that through their water bills? I mean, it's $1,000, and it's been, you know, the Lopez Dam was put in a long time, long before any of us were around, maybe except for Lori. And Karen, yeah, they probably remember it being put in, but wouldn't they have already paid that particular fee for the property?
My understanding was that fee was not in place.
I'm sorry?
That fee was not in place, and it is today.
Do you know, Lori, if that fee was in place?
Is this dam improvement charge, is that what's on our water bills, correct?
What's that?
The state water project.
That is, yes. You pay.
Okay.
You also pay a monthly fee,
yeah,
for Lopez and for the state water project.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
Because the state water project didn't have.
This was already on his charge, his billing at the time of the old residents being there. Correct.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lonnie.
State water project.
And state water.
And the $1,000 charge here.
State water project fee is collected monthly. At the time the house was built, the Central Coast Water Authority didn't exist.
Right.
So these fees and charges are in excess of what existed when that project, or when the original structure was built. So it's new. The fees are new. The structure is, as I see it, it's new too.
Well,
does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Curtis?
Well, let me ask this. He's tearing down the old house and building a new construction, correct? And he's adding 50 feet to that. Is my understanding, because I had looked in this prior to this.
Well, the water line and the saddle and the water service that comes out of the ground, it's our service. We own that. They have to pay for it and build it. We build it, or they can contract to build it, and then they can see a refund of that. But it's all under our watchful eyes and the like. But it's a one-inch service.
Okay, so it's new pipe. It's a new water pipe.
Yeah.
It's a new water pipe, correct?
The lateral is new.
Well, if the house has been removed and tore down, there's going to be new piping there as well.
Inside the property?
Hall.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Okay. My question is, would he have any credits coming for the existing front footage fees and what does that, well, yeah, you already got it on your water meter charge credit. Okay. I don't know that there's how you would justify any kind of a credit for having to change it, because it's regardless you have to go up to that. My house, one of my houses is probably going to have to eventually go up to a bigger one too. So I understand what how it looks. It looks like you're being charged for more than you should be because you're rebuilding the house, but it's considered new construction because you have to go to the current level of what is required in order for the, like the Five Cities Fire, your regular water hookups, you know, low flow, all that stuff. And I don't see any way that you could get around it other than maybe some front footage credit on it, because it has to be done in order to get a final on your house too. So maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but.
Well, I'm anxious to hear from Nicole.
Yeah.
And before I'm not going to make a decision until.
No, I know. That's why I'm trying to bend down this road once before.
Okay. Mr. McCall, good evening, sir. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you. My name is Greg McCall. I've been a resident of Oceano since 1964, and been a plumbing and building contractor here since 1980. I've developed property in Oceano and have had to pay for new services, and that's including going all the way into the street, tying and bringing in new service to the lot. In June 2013, I had opportunity to purchase a piece of property, 1561 15th Street, with the intent of replacing an older house that was tore down. Mm-hmm. When I, during escrow, to find out the fees that were going to cost me, we came into the OCSD, and we were quoted $1,900 from Tony, who is your field supervisor, and that would take care of them going out, pulling the old meter out, and putting a new meter in that would give sufficient water to for the new fire sprinklers that are required as of 2012, not 1986. At that time, I had my Byron Grant, my real estate broker, was with me, and he's offered a letter stating that that was quoted to him also. With that fee in mind, I went forward with my escrow because of trying to get the project to pencil out. So $1,900. Upon applying for a permit through the county, who then in turn say you have to have a will serve letter from OCSD, even though I already have a water meter that's in my name, I'm paying monthly service. I have a sewer lateral on my property, but a courtesy to OCSD, we have to get a will serve letter from them. So in the meantime, Mr. Curtis was not employed here. I came down and requested a will serve letter from the board, mm-hmm. and approximately a month later, they called me and said it was ready. In the meantime, Mr. Curtis has been here about 2 weeks. I came to pick it up, and here's $11,000-something. And yeah, it floored me. So then that's where the talk between him and I started, and just all the inaccuracies that this man is he's throwing out there, and even tonight, they're just clueless, kind of. The water service that you guys supply is a one-inch service. It's been there. It's been there from day one. We're not touching any of that. All we're doing is, since now, with the new code, we have to put fire sprinklers in the new residence. We have to supply a bigger meter, so that's reason we came in, and we got quotes from it, and Tony gave us the price, and it's just a matter. And Tony, while we're here, even took a staff member and went over to the property to make sure that that's all there, came back, then quoted me the price. Says, well, you don't know what the new buyer is going to be doing. And I said, what do you mean? Well, he could turn the faucet on and stand there and look at it. This is the kind of stuff that's coming out of his mouth. That it's just dumbfounding. And so with all the new plumbing and everything else, the sewer is going to be, as far as the capacity he keeps throwing out, what we're going to be using on a daily basis from the water meter and the sewer going in is going to be cut in half of what was being used. The only time that the capacity may increase is if there's a fire and we need the volume to come through the meter at that, during that fire.
You said that you got an offset or some sort of prorata. How did that work, like with the school district? If you want to build a place, as I understand, you have to pay some fees to the school district.
Right.
Let's say they're $100. Just for, I know they're not, but let's just say $100.
Right, right.
And did you get an $80 credit, or what happened?
Well, let's just say if it's a 1,200 square feet, we tore down an 1,100 square foot house, so we're going to build a 1,200 square foot house. If it's $100 a foot, they take the 1,100 times the 100, and they deduct that off the fee. And the same with the building permits.
Okay. Was the county?
The county, and then the school district is what we're talking about, the school fees.
And so was it your expectation or that actually, was it your experience that if you buy something with an existing meter, an existing sewer, that you would,
yes,
it would be cheaper for you to do that, and that's why you buy it that way?
Yes, and that's what you're trying to do. You know, because in construction, you have to make things pencil out. And so I tried to do all my homework, and I did come in, and you know, that's what I was quoting, that's what I moved forward with. The fees like this just throw us, you know, where it just doesn't work. Since then, I was in escrow on two properties next door that both needed to be tore down, and since then, I've backed out, and this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So instead of, now you've got, you know, three old houses sitting there that all need to be tore down. It's not bringing any income of any kind in. They're vacant. With the intent of building three new houses, mm-hmm, you know, it just...
It doesn't pencil.
It doesn't pencil.
How do you calculate, I don't know if you want to present this or Mr. Belcher wants to present, how do you calculate what you believe the fees should be?
I'd like to leave that to Mr. Belcher.
Sure. I don't have any further questions of this gentleman.
I'm just curious, why would you speak to our field supervisor on fees?
Because he was the only one that would step up and talk to me.
Okay, so was he working the front office at the time?
Yes.
And so he was working the counters,
yes,
and answering the phones?
Well, I don't know that he's answering the phones.
But I'm saying that's where you came in contact with him twice.
Yes, ma'am.
And twice he gave you that fee?
No, once. I just once.
Oh, I thought he went out to the location,
right, so,
and then,
right,
came back and
Mr. Grant
reiterated
came
it.
In. We talked about it to the front office and Ms. Tony's.
Do you know about what time this was? During the day, was it in the morning, the afternoon?
No, I'd be guessing.
Was it this last year? Was it the year before?
July 3rd.
July 3rd.
2013.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody have any other questions for this gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Belcher. Good evening, sir. Thank you for coming.
Evening. Thanks for listening to us, giving us a chance, actually, to discuss this fee problem and making a time available for the appeal. We did pass out some materials, some correspondence that we have submitted to the district over the last 3 months, and I think you might have had a chance to look through it. It's fairly short, and I'm going to touch on some of the important points. I think, but I want to focus the discussion. I mean, we get to some details, but first I want to focus the discussion on you, the leaders of the community, mm-hmm, and what the real issue is here, which is, are you going to throttle the renovation and rehabilitation of the housing stock here by imposing a brand new service fee on everybody who basically has to go to the county for a permit? Because at the county, they have an accommodation to this district that requires the issuance of a will serve letter. That doesn't exist in other parts of the county, but here it does. So because the county staff has this ability and you have this ability to require and issue will serve letters, you can basically throw conditions in there and fees that nobody could do anything about. So people cannot get remodeling permits. They cannot add, as this lady here would like to do, 8 feet on the front of her house. She can't do that without paying a fee of $11,000 under this interpretation, even though they're existing water service users, and even though they've been paying on their water bills for some time. So, turning our attention to this particular project, I think it's unfortunate that, just makes me more sensitive to this, but we all know this is not a newly created lot. It's not a newly created residence, and it is not a newly created service. And that's where I think we get off the tracks here. What the district staff is telling you, the board, is that we want to charge a full service as if this is a new lot, because it is, quote, new construction. That's not a technical term, new construction. That could mean a shed in your backyard. It could mean new siding. It could mean anything that triggers the need to call a contractor and come out and work on your house. What your ordinance says, and the only law that you have that I could find that triggers this fee imposition, says that the water service connection fee...
Can you tell me where you're referring to?
Yeah, I'm referring to page 9 of your ordinance, which your ordinance is included in your staff packet.
Thank you, sir.
And if you look on page 9, this is paragraph 4. These fees apply to, quote, new water services. And I'm going to argue here and submit this is not a new water service. This is a customer that's been paying, has a current water meter, has a current service, has a current water bill. He has a water service. He has a 1-inch lateral line owned by the district that comes in from the street right to the meter. What we're saying is because of the new fire sprinkler requirements, which can be voluntarily triggered or you can be required by the county, they have to go and unscrew the 3/4-inch meter or 5/8-inch meter, I guess it is. But here it says 3/4-inch meter, and I heard the word 5/8, but I think it's 3/4. And then they have to screw on a 1-inch meter. What happens after that is a purely private line into the house. Nothing to do with the district. The district has no equipment that they have to contribute to this except a single 1-inch meter. They take off the 3/4-inch meter, they put on the 1-inch meter. That's it. They don't have any additional capacity. In fact, they're going to have less water flow to this house. We all know that because of the low flow plumbing. What they are going to have is a house that now has sprinklers that if there's a fire, it won't burn down the house next to it or the house next to that. Like what happened in San Francisco after the earthquake. One house after another burned down. So fire sprinklers are intended to cut off that problem. So it's a public good. Now you've already got water capacity in your system for fires. You have huge storage. You have fire hydrants. The fire sprinklers don't require one drop more water. So here's the legal question as I see it. Since your ordinances do not specifically address the situation we have, they only address a new water service, and we are not seeking a new water service, we are seeking a new water meter, you don't have the legal ability to charge my client $11,000, including a new sewer connection of $500, to replace a simple piece of equipment that costs about $300. Now, we made these points in the letters to you, and you've got copies of them. I just wanted to point out that in addition to my letters, which include the replacement permit that he got from the county, we also have a letter from Byron Grant, who asks, he has a client who purchased a house in Oceano. She is thinking of upgrading her house and would like to install fire sprinklers. How much would you charge her to change her 3/4-inch meter to a 1-inch meter? The answer from what I heard here tonight is $11,000. Every house that seeks a building permit in the County of San Luis Obispo is going to be charged $11,000, as I understand it. That's the interpretation that you've been given tonight by your staff. I think that you have to follow your ordinances. New water services. This is not a new water service. If you want to change it, then I think you could. I think you could adopt a new set of ordinances that say everybody who gets a building permit should pay $11,000 to the district. I just think that you don't want to do that because you want your community to upgrade. You want new houses to be built. You want remodels to happen. You want people to upgrade to new plumbing and cut your water use by half. If you don't want those things, a sure way to get that to happen is to charge somebody $11,000, including a new sewer connection fee, even though they have an existing service. Because then you're going to find, as Mr. McCall just pointed out, they're not going to buy houses to upgrade them. They're going to sit vacant. They're not going to be remodeled. And you're going to end up with a deteriorating housing stock. No other community does this. Oceano Community Services would be the first that I'm aware of as a board. Anyway, we really appreciate your taking the time to let us present this appeal, and both Carrie and I are certainly available to respond to any questions.
Mr. Belcher, how would you, if you could give me an ABC, do the calculation?
Okay.
If the board decides to agree with your interpretation here,
I would love to do that for you. Okay, if you'll turn to, in your packages, let's see here. I'm looking for the letter.
There's two October.
Okay, here it is.
Letters.
If you look at the, you can just look at the second page of your staff report. The second page of your staff report includes a repeat of the letter opposing the fees dated October 29th. So pages 2 and 3, they say the same thing. So, if I was deciding this, and Jeff did ask me this question, I answered him in an email before the meeting. I think the charge would be $1,350, which is set forth in your ordinance as the charge for a 1-inch meter. And then you have labor charges, which add up to $280. And we're not disputing that. It costs, somebody has to go out and perform this function. And then there's material charge of $303, and that's a little bit more than what we found at the plumbing suppliers, but that's probably just about right. So if you add up $303, $280, and $1,350, that comes up to $1,905 or something.
What about the inspection fee, $25? It's change.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we should pay an inspection fee. So, yeah, so you're right around that number. And I don't believe we should be required to pay a sewer connection fee. There's already a sewer, and it's already connected. So,
Mr. Belcher, did you look at, I asked Mr. Curtis, and you're correct about not being a lot of institutional memory here, and I didn't go back and look at any remodel permits that we'd granted in the previous few years. Do you know what we were charging for those particular remodel permits?
I don't, although I've been here for, you know,
remodel
my whole life.
Serves, I misspoke.
You know, no one's ever brought this circumstance to my attention. I think they would have, because a remodel could never bear the cost of this. They couldn't bear the burden of this in a community like this. That would be representing 10% of the value of the structure, or maybe more in some cases.
Do you have any experience with like-kind projects such as this in other parts of the county and what the fees are being charged?
Well, in my experience, capacity fees are not charged for remodels. They are not charged for building improvements. The fees for each district vary. Your fees, say, if it's $11,000, most of it's capacity fees. Mm-hmm. I think that's right in the middle of the road for what I see in the rest of the county. Some are more. You know, there have been some that were less. They change, but
perhaps I can articulate it better. If somebody in Cambria or San Luis Obispo or something tore down a house, built another one, what would their fee be from the water provider and sewer provider?
I am fairly familiar in Cambria, having represented a lot of
I don't think using Cambria, I don't think is a good example, because you can take your water service from one obsolete lot and transfer it over to another better lot. So I don't think that they're. I just don't think it's apples and oranges.
Well,
the one thing that is similar between Cambria and Oceano is that Oceano is responsible for 36 inches out into the street for maintenance, and so is Cambria. The other CSDs are not. But in Cambria, if you have a tear-down house that has water services, right, you can buy another lot that you're on the lottery at, you know, 200, and you're never going to get a will serve out of them. You can transfer that water right over to that empty lot, and it doesn't apply here like that.
That's true. What I was speaking to is that in Cambria, I know that the water services go with the lots, and that if you that you're not required to pay capacity fees because you rebuild your structure.
I don't think they have to worry about it that much. Sorry.
Well, I was just responding to a question from the chair, so I apologize if it doesn't speak to your concerns.
Sir, I really hear your frustrations, and we're trying to get to a. I hear your frustrations, and we're trying to get to a happy place on this. That doesn't, you know. Ding that
is you don't have a written policy. You have an ordinance that says new water services. It doesn't say new construction. And that's consistent in your ordinances. The rest of it, to me, is made up. I don't think it's in your policies. I don't think you have a policy. I think you have an ordinance. That's what we're following. What we're being asked to pay is based on some policy that we don't know about. And I don't think you do either.
If there's no further questions, I'll turn it over to Mr. Minery. And then we would give you the opportunity, Mr. Belcher, to respond if you'd like to what. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would it be more helpful for me to just field questions from the board, or would you like me to
okay,
give
sure.
my
Here's
overall
the question.
Thought on...
What's your analysis? Question.
Yeah, my analysis is that I did start by looking at this with the existing 2006 ordinances, and I did go through and look at the areas cited by Mr. Belcher in addition to the other sections of the ordinance. The ordinance does also incorporate by reference at the very back on page 25 six other ordinances going back to 1984. The real issue I have here with this, it begins with the 1984 original ordinance on this that contains the definitions that are incorporated in the further. It's the only definitional section in any ordinance, and I do. Looking back, I wish that definition section was clear on definition of new water service and what is new construction, what is a remodel. Those types of guidelines would be very helpful in this situation. I understand Mr. Curtis's analysis in regards to looking at this as new service and new construction, because it certainly, from a gut level perspective, it certainly appears that way. It is somewhat ambiguous to me of what new service is in our ordinances because it is undefined. So my analysis is that I would prefer cleaner definitions on these, and I think that would certainly help the board. I just don't have that. Can I answer specific questions? Would that help? I don't want to go too far. I don't want to.
No, that answers my particular questions. Does the rest of the board have any other questions of Mr. Minery? Okay.
No. So it doesn't define new water service in the definitions.
It does not. And I have a kind of a cheat sheet here. Okay. To the new water service does come up in a very similar fashion it defined in the 1984-1 ordinance. There is references in 1984-2 to a reconnection fee for unoccupied properties, which is also undefined. There are certain reconnection fees for other issues, for example, for items other than maintenance, there is a reconnection fee. So going back and looking through the ordinance, it is new services not defined, where the term new construction, newly constructed structure arises is within the permitting procedure, but the permitting procedure doesn't really tie in to the water service fee in the kind of clean way you would expect it to.
Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Minery? Lori?
I don't have any questions. I think what we need to do is be more specific. I think exactly what you're saying is we don't have a clear-cut thing in the description part of it. I would assume that a tear down and it's a new building would have qualified for that, but you're saying that it really doesn't.
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't know that it does or it doesn't, okay. But reviewing the ordinances, I think that going back to the 1984 definitions and clearly defining that this type of tearing it down and rebuilding it up constitutes new service, new construction.
Okay.
Would be something that would be very easy to do. You could draw a line saying tearing it down 50% and building it back up is new construction subject to these fees. So that it becomes more of a clear line as at what point does a bathroom remodel not necessarily trigger the same things. Does just a sprinkler upgrade for health and safety purposes,
the ordinance is ambiguous. I had highlighted the same thing tonight when I read the staff report, that this is for new water service. I understand the ambiguity. I understand Mr. Curtis's interpretation of it, but I think that the ambiguity should probably go against the district at this time unless and until it's clarified in a future. So until it's clarified, I think henceforth the ambiguity should go against the district. We should issue a fee of $1,958.84. Those are the numbers that were presented by Mr. Belcher. And due process requires notice. If we decide to change it at a later date, that's a different policy discussion. I will also note that the amount, the $1,900-ish amount that was told, you can't have estoppel against the government. But I think that this is based upon our own documents. I think that they supported $1,958.84. That's my thoughts on it. I'll open to discussion.
Is that a motion?
It's not a motion because I'm still open to discussion on it.
I would support ownership of
you're still off.
I'd support ownership of our policies being delinquent, but I also would want them on the next agenda so this doesn't happen again and that we don't have a flood of people who think they're just going to come in and take advantage of an already impoverished area, which many people have. You know, so I do think that, you know, in a sense that I would take ownership, but it has to be ASAP. And there has to be a draft at the next board meeting because I appreciate the attorney not continuing to insult us.
Director Lucy, maybe at some point if you think some direction to how you think that type of, I would imagine, some sort of a fee schedule that would be probably easily referenced that might clarify what is new. Does something like that sound to make sense? Where if it's a complete tear down or remodel, is it something like if one wall is left up, does that count?
I actually think it should mirror the county.
Because if the county's going to say, you don't need no street lighting, right? And we're over here saying we need street lighting, and the county's over here going, screw you, we're not making these developers do street lighting. What's the point?
Okay.
So have it near whatever the giant is. In this case, it's the county.
Okay.
You know, have the developers, have the homeowners just mirror the county. You know, otherwise we're back here doing this again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been sitting at this table, obviously, too long, 5 years. You know, and I have been through this. I went through the Pamela Dean case with this. It was exactly this, and it cost the district $88,000. And those codifications were supposed to be done. And she got paid a lot of money to do those. And a lot of attorneys got paid a lot of money. So, you know, no, I want it on the next agenda.
All right.
But I do think that we should justify this one.
Okay.
Jennifer?
I'm just curious if there would be an inspection fee required for the sewer connection as well. I don't, I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, that makes sense, included. Actually. That's another $25.
Okay. So, yeah, so that would be 1983. 1983, 84.
Yeah.
But besides that, yes, I agree with your calculations.
Is there any more discussion? If not, I'll make a motion.
Mr. McCall, I'd like to apologize, number one, for this mess. I understand how you feel, because I went through the same thing myself, looking at a piece of property and thought, okay, I could do this. And then I started calculating all the fees, sidewalk, curb and gutter, everything. And I didn't do mine either. So I understand where you're coming from. When I first look at this and I see they tear the old house down and it's a new house, I was thinking overall, obviously, because that's how it read to me. So with the problems that you had with you know, being quoted a price to start with, perhaps that should have been discussed prior to giving you a quote with staff and Tony as well. I think that you're right. I think we can't charge you that much money for what's happened either. You know, I'd rather see improvement in our district, but I do expect people to pay their fair share. And so, yeah, I agree. I want to do it.
Right. I'll make a motion that we find in favor of the appellant, and that we charge a water meter charge of $1,350. On these, in the future, if we have will serves like we always had.
I just need to get her.
Why don't we move on to item? Why don't we move on to item number 9C? This is the December 31st, 2013 quarterly investment report. Yes.
Mr. President Guerrero,
yes,
have
ma'am.
We overlooked 9A,
yes.
Or did I miss something in translation?
We did.
We overlooked what?
We skipped 9A.
I skipped it at this point, yeah. Okay. I'm just moving to 9C. Since it's a receive and file. Jocelyn, I think this was your report. And we did have a staff report on this.
Okay, so this is the investment report for the fourth quarter. Also, our policy calls for our annual report, which has the same items in it. So it's also the annual report for the 2013 calendar year. I had a report in there, or a staff report. Does anyone have any questions about it?
The only question I had was, I think it might apply to 10D, but the public checking, which is pooled, we have a 0% rate of interest. Are we required, because reading the resolution, it looked like we might be required to have that in an interest-bearing account?
Right. In the investment policy, which is the resolution agenda item 9D, it does require that our investments be in an interest account. However, the checking account is not really considered an investment. Our only investment is our certificate of deposit.
Okay.
The rest are just cash accounts at this time. And the money market is also considered a cash account because it's not, I can't think of the actual word for it, but it's available for use.
Okay. Yeah. The public checking account, it is
I'm sorry, it's available for use, that's why it's in a 0%?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there...
Is that big enough to do it? No timeline.
Right, the money market, if we needed to use it tomorrow or today, we could transfer money from the money market over to the cash accounts. And actually, the money market does have a small interest, but it's still not considered an investment.
Okay. Those were my only questions on that.
I had a question on...
Your mic's not on.
Your mic's not on.
Of course it's not on. I'm going to turn it off for you. I'd like to get in a breakdown of, you know, we pay our state water bill, and our state water is producing at 5% right now. We're getting 5% of our allocation. So maybe you can work with Sonia at the county. You don't have to go to Zone 3. You don't have to go to any of the other policy meetings. Just contact Sonia so she can give you a breakdown of the 283,000 or whatever it is, the first payment, the first installment, because the state water is costing a lot of money, and we don't know what percentage is going to what.
Right. I have reviewed the state water project and the bills associated with it. We have a lot of fixed costs that does not matter how much water is delivered. We still have to pay certain bonds that are part of the being participants of the project. There are maintenance and operation charges that we have to pay, but there are some charges that are variable depending on the delivery of that year. And so they always will charge us a year in advance, and so that's why you always see at the fiscal year we'll have this huge prepaid water on our books. And then about January this time, she will do a reconciliation and give us a credit for those variable items.
So but can you give that to, can you share that with the board?
Which part? The whole thing, the state water breakdown?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
If there's no further discussion, is there, I think we receive in file C, but there is a resolution on 9D to adopt the district investment policy. This is the yearly resolution. Does it have a number, Jocelyn?
I thought about giving it a number, but in the past, we've had resolutions come before the board that did not get passed, and they get brought back in another agenda, and okay. So numbers were getting very confused. And so I just left it on the X, and then once it gets approved, it would be put in the minutes with that number. That way, there's no confusion as to what number the resolutions were. And I saw that that was similar practice at other CSDs, and so I thought that was a good way of not getting confused on the numbers.
Okay. Then, if there's no further discussion, I'll move to approve the Oceana Community Services District Resolution. It's a resolution of the Board of the Directors of the Oceana Community Services District adopting the year...
Really important back there?
I'm sorry, she never had a chance to speak and she had no idea. So I'm just trying to explain to her how we intend to work.
We understand what you do.
So I will, you know...
Is she on the agenda?
No.
Can I make a...
Jocelyn, are you done there? I don't know if you finished. Go ahead, Jocelyn.
I would like to point out that we did adopt this investment policy in the past. This is a active policy. I believe the last policy was 2010-, I'm not sure actually the number, but it is an active policy, and within that policy, which also mirrors the government code that says that the board must review the investment policy every year, and our board, the staff has not brought that investment policy to you each year, and I'm not sure how that got missed, but going forward, this should be brought to you before February of each year, and you should review it and make any changes or not make any changes and approve it. And that's, like I said, it's part of the policy that's already in place, and it also mirrors the government code section that I noted in my staff report for agenda item 9D. It's California Government Code section 53646A2.
All right, I saw that in the staff report.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Of?
No, I don't.
All right, there's a pending motion.
And a second.
Okay. And Ms. Blackburn will second it. Can I get a roll call?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Abstain.
Director White?
Yes.
We have voice passes by a vote of 4-1 abstention. It is 9:29 p.m. I would make a motion at this time that we continue past the 3 hours.
Second.
All right. And all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. I think that passed by a vote of 5-0.
Excuse me, President Guerrero?
Yes.
I think that you may clarify that there was supposed to be, we are need to have public comment on, I believe public comment is still open for the
it
general
is.
Manager's report, and I think Ms. Lopez was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we still do have a public comment on for, we still do have sessions of public comment, Ms. Lopez, if you want to.
I'm not sure how this goes.
Okay.
That's okay.
When we call public comment, that's you just
Hit the mic.
Yeah, and you get 3 minutes to make a public comment. So.
You can have six.
We'll call it in a. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Right. Go ahead. Why don't we open public comment up at this time? It's unorthodox, but.
Okay. Thank you. I have the same problem with. I was objected to the fees that I had because we're only adding like 8 feet to our front of our house. We're not doing nothing with the sewer, nothing. We don't need no sprinklers or anything. We're just 8 feet forward, and we're getting a bill of $8,000. So, I mean, we're thinking it's like way too much for what we're even going to add. I mean, we knew that there was going to be a fee because, I mean, there's a fee everywhere where we're trying to get the permits, but not $8,000 if we're not adding new plumbing. Nothing is getting done.
What's your address? I'm sorry.
I live down the street from the man that was just here. I live on 1630 15th Street.
1630. Your house used to be pink, right?
No, that's the house across the street from us.
Are you on a corner lot?
No.
No, you're the second house in, right?
We're the third house.
Okay. And at one time, didn't you extend your front wall out, the front load-bearing wall out? And you had to redo your sidewalks.
We haven't done anything. That I believe you're talking about the man across the street from us who remodeled his house. And he's the only one on our street that has a sidewalk. We're on 1630 and he's 1631.
Oh, because I know there was a house that moved a load-bearing wall out the front in the county. Just had a complete fit.
Yeah, I think it was his house. All we're doing is adding 8 feet forward from our living room and our kitchen, and that's about it.
And you never lost a football bet and painted your house pink, right?
No. No, our house is not pink. We comment about that and the dark blue house that's on the side of us. And yeah. So.
Is there anything else, Ms. Lopez?
No, I'm just, okay. Wondering if you guys would take into consideration my fees if I'm
what,
just...
What I'll do is I'll direct you to speak to the general manager, and we'll just ask him to review your fees consistent with their decision we made tonight on the appeal.
Okay. And do you know the turnaround time for that, or?
Item number 9A, which actually could have been the on the consent agenda. That's the committee meeting assignments, final revision.
Except there are two vacancies.
Yes, airport land use and LAFCO. Okay.
I don't know. Regional Water Quality Control Board.
RWQCB.
Yeah.
That's.
I'll take LAFCO.
All right. Director Lucy will be our primary for
LAFCO.
I'll do the Regional Water Quality Control Board if nobody else is interested.
You guys drive a hard bargain.
I was actually curious, too.
Yes.
LAFCO is Mary for
yes.
first and you for alternate?
No. Ms. Blackburn for RWQCB.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we need an alternate on either, do we?
For RAC?
No,
for LAFCO and RWQCB.
Oh.
So no alternates?
So that's water.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
You want to be the alternate on that thing?
Well.
Or the primary.
Because you're our water guru.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't understand, if we're going to be water, be water. If you're going to be sewer, be sewer.
you're going to be fiscal, you know.
Sure. We can.
The water, you know.
I can be your alternate.
Okay. So are you suggesting, Mary, that you be the primary on RWQCD?
That's fine.
So not Jennifer?
Any objection, Jennifer?
Jennifer can be the lead if she wants to be the lead.
If Ms. Lucy feels strongly, that's fine.
I
can be alternate.
About being consistent with the water.
Yeah.
That's what I feel strongly about.
Yeah. Okay. I had an interest. No, that's fine.
I'll try to make those changes.
So, Matt, will you clarify, please?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again, Marie.
Will you clarify, please?
Okay. So we've got Ms. Lucy stepping in on LAFCO and RWQCB.
No, isn't Jen taking lead and Lori's taking
alternate
on RW?
So QB. Jennifer's lead on RW.
It's getting late.
And Lori's alternate?
Alternate, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have an alternate on LAFCO?
Do we need an LAFCO?
We can do it.
All right, Karen
I'll
White.
Karen, good.
Okay.
She's going to put you on the back of her hog and take you up.
Yeehaw.
You have to wake me up.
I was actually had a question, too, about NCMA. I know in the past it's been staff only, and I know that we stepped in, or the board did, when we did not have a general manager, and I was wondering if we wanted to go back to that or not.
What?
NCMA. From what I understand, other agencies also only do management as well, and I know that we stepped in when we didn't have a manager, and so I was just, and you may have prefer to be there, but I just thought I'd bring it up.
Gone to those with us.
I attend all the NCMA meetings, and I'm really plugged into it on behalf of the district. And it is true that the other participants are not elected officials like yourselves, and that it's at a staff level. I'm probably the most senior staff person there, so we're well represented if you want to consider that. So I bring that report back to the board, too.
Yeah. I think it's important that we be there, to be perfectly honest, because we have to kind of pay attention to what's going on outside of our little community.
I'd ask at the last meeting, I talked to one of the fellows that kind of lead the charge there to present the current status of the basin here at Oceano at a board meeting, at a workshop perhaps, or at the official board meeting, mm-hmm. and bring that forward. And I'm working with him on that so that you all are informed as to what's going on with our basin.
Great. That's important.
You know, also, while you're saying that, can you check in our past contracts with Northern Cities? Mm-hmm. We have had the groundwater basin characterization in all our past budgets from them, but still to date there hasn't been any characterization done.
I've not seen a groundwater basin characterization study myself, so
no,
I will look into that.
We have gotten billed for it.
I will look into that.
You know, so
sure.
We can't do anything about past contracts, but it's some level of accountability with the taxpayers' money.
Well,
also, too, would you mind reminding them? I'll back up a little bit, right? But the courts required one annual report a year, which is a serve and file. And these guys are producing four quarterly reports a year, and I think it's excessive, and I think it's self-serving.
It's expensive,
and it's not called for by the courts. So if you can keep an eye on stuff like that, then I'll back off more and more and more. But
that's fine.
I just see him.
Director Angelo on NCMA also.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. It.
I think I do.
Okay. I'll move to approve as modified.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. It carries 5-0. Move on to the special meeting, which was, get the right language on it. Excuse me. I can borrow yours.
That's the resolution. Right. Spell out the resolution.
We'll move on to the special meeting, which is, there's one item. It's a business item 6A. We'll open up for public comment at this time. No members of the public are present, so we'll close public comment. Item 6A is to consider a temporary sale of water due to drought declaration by Governor Jerry Brown. This came about because of the information that was contained in the packet. When we reviewed it, Ms. Lucy correctly pointed out some language in the article, which said, Brown stressed that the state will also continue to work to streamline voluntary water transfers to make it easier for someone who has water to sell it to someone who needs more. The governor cautioned, however, that the state can't govern its way out of a drought. So, obviously, we have neighbors around us on all sides, except for the ocean, who are short of water. And Oceano has about 900 acre feet of water, 900 to 1,000 acre feet of water, that is part of our entitlement that's not being used each year. It does offer us the opportunity to generate revenue. We are a small water company. Our product is water. This offers us the opportunity to sell more water, to obviously fund some of the infrastructure and other projects that the OCSD would like to tackle. By way of background, I mentioned last meeting that I had spoken with Bob Peralt from Grover Beach and Steve Adams from Arroyo Grande. They are actively searching for water sources but are only interested in permanent sales of water. They're only interested in permanent sales of water. And we do have a voter initiative which prohibits us from doing that, which is something that we need to look at carefully in the near future. Given these concerns. So I think this is appropriate discussion for the board to think about trying to move water to other jurisdictions for the benefit of the Oceana community. So I'll open it up for discussion, and maybe if Jeff or Lonnie wants to add anything. Lonnie raises his hand. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I'd like to add is that we looked at our current portfolio of water with the State Water Project really being ratcheted down to 5%. We don't have that 900 acre feet buffer, if you will, or excess. And so what we do have is we do have capacity of state project water, and we have capacity in Lopez of Lopez water. Now, I talked to the County Public Works Director, Pav Odgren, and I said, if there were a willing buyer so that we don't have water wheeled into Lopez State Water, and we used ours as an offset of the Lopez water, we could horse trade water out of San Luis Reservoir that would effectively be our water with someone, a willing buyer from Santa Anella South, to any water purveyor, any willing buyer. And Pablo said that's an interesting idea. I think I'd like to look at that. And so we may have that opportunity to do just that and have a willing buyer buy several hundred acre feet. So I need to work with Pablo. I'm going to meet with him and discuss this specifically. And we'll bring this back to the board and keep you informed as to opportunities that may exist for Oceano that others don't have, because we do have some excess capacity.
What do you have an appointment date with him yet or not? Yeah.
This coming, well, next week now.
Sometime next week, sure.
Yeah.
I think I could be convinced if the opportunities were right to move some water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would encourage you to go forward with those discussions and come back to the board with information.
Sure.
And proposals as the case may be.
As part of that, though, I would like to request that we have numbers in front of us for what we use, what we get in, how much we have left over a number of years, if at all possible. That would be extremely helpful in making that decision.
And I am
to investor, but I did get a chance to
read the resolution, the declaration of emergency, a little bit further than the press release that was included in our packet, and I thank Lonnie for doing that. As far as, you know, when they do this stuff, they list a list of priorities. What's priority number one? And priority number one is the contingency plans for each area. Oceano has a very strong contingency plan. Whether it's right, you can tell or not, we do. We have the most diversified water source in the county. That's a contingency plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you'd call it besides spending a whole lot of money, but that's a contingency plan because we anticipated a drought down the road. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have about four sources of water there. So number two, so we can address number two. As far as, you know, any initiatives and things like that, they don't apply in state of emergency. They don't apply. So I ask that we not bring up the issue of permanent sales versus temp sales because it doesn't apply when there's a state of emergency. And that's why I was a little disappointed that people continue to use that in their language. You know, it doesn't apply at this point. We're talking about surplus. We're talking about extra. We're talking about water that Oceano shoots out to the ocean every day. I'm sure the ratepayers don't want us to do that. Secondly, as far as the, and these are in order of priority of how the governor wants to move forward. The third one is to hit the ground running with projects. That's where the sand district comes in. You should have that engineer plan on your shelf, ready to go on that blue pipe. I've seen it being done. Purple pipe. I've seen the plan, and it should be have been submitted long ago. And as 33 1/3% owner of that plant, I'm begging you to get it to the state.
I have two thoughts I'll bring up after you.
Okay, so we can hit like five of these points. And also, too, is on number two, it says local water agencies should also update their legally required urban and ag water management plans. And I don't know, we have to check on that one, which will help for extending drought conditions. And then there was another one, that the 20% savings, there is a state law that you have to do. You can go to www.saveourh2o.org and see what the 20% is. But where Oceano falls into is we go into the business of selling water. You know, it's separate. We're selling our surplus because we've diversified and we have enough water to share with others who don't. So it falls under I have to find it. Oh, here, number nine. No, it doesn't do that. Well, anyway, it states that any jurisdiction that has excessive water is almost mandated to make their water available to others who are running the risk of losing it short, of running short, excuse me. I have it right here, as always. So that's what they're planning on doing, as far as I can see, is they're trying to find the little water companies. We got extra water, get it out there, sell it. You know, like Golden State, they're doing a total audit right now to see how much water Golden State has to move it. Mm-hmm. Golden State is a water company. Mm-hmm. And so as far as selling water within the sphere of influence in Oceano, I don't think it applies under a state of emergency. I think you're allowed to go outside your jurisdiction, and so that's the one area I definitely want to check.
Well, perhaps Pavo might know that.
Yeah, I'll work with Pavo. And there's a suppression of CEQA, some of the environmental regulations, and also regional board regulations that are relaxed specifically due to the drought. So I want to make sure our I's are dotted and T's are crossed before anything that I present to the board for your consideration.
We'll bring this back at the next board meeting then on February 12th, and you can give us a report at that time.
So what are we going to do? We're just going to keep reporting on it?
No, we're going to find out what information he has and see what options are available to us and try to...
I think you should make a motion to sell 1,200 acre feet.
I think... Can we get the information first about what we have and how much we use? I'd like to do that. Plus, yeah.
Right. Of course on it.
Yeah.
Of course you can't sell state water, but it's really, you know, if you really, I'm sorry to say it, but it's a numbers game.
Right.
It all goes in the same pool, it all gets sucked up, except for the groundwater. You know, so...
What's wrong with
I'm afraid
going,
that
going
in,
forward.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to do, move it forward.
Right.
So I'm afraid that they're going to snag that 900 if we don't have plans for it.
Yeah.
Just like I've been saying for 3 years.
Well, let's...
Just like the saltwater intrusion.
Oh, maybe staff can bring back multiple options for ways to move forward with the information that we then have. And because I'm interested in setting up, well, I guess to snag the word contingency in terms of our future and the district, you know, saving enough for us in case there's further drought, you know, and that's why I'm a little bit nervous about just saying any excess, because we might need the excess if state water gets cut a little bit more. It's very variable. And
we could get our state water taken on 303 acre feet of state water that we get, and it wouldn't phase us one bit. We'd be out of $20 million that we paid for it, right? But it would not impact us one bit. It's only 300 acre feet.
It's 3%.
Can I interject? Sorry. For the state water project next year, we're going to get 5% as of now, and we don't see anything going up in the future. Right as of right now, 5% of 750 acre feet is 37.5 acre feet. So that's what we have to work with next year. By the way, if we don't use state water project water, if we don't use it, we could save that for next year, acre foot for acre foot. Lopez, we received 303 acre feet.
Right. Okay.
That's Lopez. As of right now, they're not restricting us. At the end of the fiscal year, which ends in March, they will determine if we have any surplus Lopez water. As of now, it looks like not everyone's using up all their Lopez allotment for this year, so we should. However, the Lopez Lake is not doing that great, so it doesn't mean that's automatic they're going to declare surplus. They probably will, but we can't bank on that Lopez surplus water. Lopez surplus water we can buy at $50 an acre foot if we need it. Okay, so at just those alone, 303 plus 37.5, that's not a whole lot of water, and we use 900, or actually last 3 years has been 860 acre feet a year. So we don't have a whole lot of water. We're going to be pumping at least 499 acre feet next year without getting any surplus water. And we are working on a presentation to bring towards the board with all of these numbers, and to show you our water portfolio. It's on the for future agenda. I just wanted to speak up and get the numbers straight.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Maybe. It can still.
Well, last year I think it was that they allocated 5% of our allocation,
mm-hmm.
and then they came back and boosted it. And we didn't get any rain last year either. So it all depends, you know, but they didn't declare a state of emergency last year either.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they had
but I don't think we're at risk of running short on any water. No. Not when we're sitting on 900 acre feet, you know, and pumping it out to our neighbors, you know, for free.
Yeah, I just like to see it on paper, so I appreciate it. I look forward to the water portfolio presentation.
And then you can find that at Public Works on their website, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the allocations and
mm-hmm.
who gets what and...
Actually, I think I might have a copy with me.
Yeah.
Would our actions be stronger if we made some kind of motion tonight to investigate selling?
Well, I think we should direct staff, and it could be by motion, to investigate selling water or to sell water. And I understand and share Mary Lucy's concerns. I just don't feel like I'm operating with, you know, the fullness of knowledge to know, you know, I'm just kind of a little bit of a pin the tail on the donkey the way I'm feeling right now.
You can wait. I don't care, you know.
I think we all agree that, you know, this is an opportunity for us to raise some revenue by selling some water.
It's an opportunity for us to put some money back in the water fund that we keep transferring.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, do some infrastructure. And
sellable water. We can sell our Lopez allocation. We paid for it. We can friggin' sell it. Our state, we can't sell north. We can sell south, I think. I'm not positive on that.
I think we can too.
I think you can sell downstream, but you can't sell upstream. You know, but our state is minimal. Right now, where we're getting screwed, excuse my French. I'm fluent in French tonight.
Mr. President. This is a real slippery slope, pardon the pun, right now, with a lot of changes that are coming on. The drought was declared less than a week ago by Governor Brown, and, you know, like I said, things are changing at breakneck speed with respect to water and water transfers. What I suggest is that I investigate this and I bring back a palette of opportunities along with what our portfolio is so that you can see where we're at, and then provide staff direction on how to implement your policy.
Okay.
And then also, too, is that if we're going to do that, then we have to know what, you know, what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other jurisdictions in the area, are they complying with the 20% reduction? Are they? You know, no, they're not. Are they complying with the diversifying of their water source?
No.
I don't know. I don't, you know, advocate for them. So there's a lot of things, but it'll be different next week.
And talking to Arroyo Grande this week, they're implementing their water conservation structure and a 20% reduction and citing people if it gets to that point. PISMO also has a conservation ordinance in place and in play right now, too. I don't know what Grover is right now, but two of the agencies in the basin have active ordinances in place right now that they're implementing.
And they're all building huge, huge tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Huge tracks.
And we have a water conservation ordinance?
No.
Yeah, we do actually.
Do we?
We do?
I don't think it's a conservation. I think it's a compliance with a 20% reduction. By diversifying our water source, I think we're complying with that.
No, but there's no ordinance.
Do I think that there's a written book on cutting back and things like that? No, we're unincorporated.
I don't think so. We never.
We'd have to fall into the mandate of the county no matter what, except for our groundwater. Their courts tell us what they want, and what they want is a report once a year, period, end of story. They don't want all that damn paperwork that everybody sends them.
Yeah,
we can bring back an ordinance for your consideration.
I'm fine with bringing it back. I'm fine. You lose the opportunity, you know. I'm fine with taking the loss, too. You know. I think by having the only water supply on the coast of Central and Southern California, I think that, it, you know, by not taking any action is probably the most harmful thing. Politically, strategically, I think that's the most harmful.
I think marketing our water is more important than coming up with a conservation ordinance right now.
That's
water conservation ordinance.
Could I just say a couple of words, please? We have a sheet for people. We stand at that counter day after day, week after week, listening to people complain about their high water bills here. So there's a sheet that has been on the counter forever, and we're going to put it back out again. There's a little spot on the bill. We're doing something for the JPA this time. We've put fog
information.
Little blurbs on there about how to keep the fats, oils, and grease out of your sewer. We're doing the same thing with the water. So we talk water conservation for people because they already think their bills are too high.
They are high.
Yes, well, they're high, but they're not as high as they are some places in the county. I pay more in Morro Bay than you all do down here
over too.
By considerably. But, you know, we are working with the ratepayers on water conservation already.
Yeah.
Can they do a better job? Probably.
Well, I was thinking of something that mandated what they had to do.
Right.
If we get
like a structure, if we get to a certain point.
To a certain point that you can't, you know, can only wash your cars on Monday. So, but that's down the road. It's going to rain in just February.
Maybe. That's what they said.
Well, if it starts raining, it can rain and rain and rain.
Hopefully.
Okay. So, tons per day that are going out the outfall, water, or treated effluent, using it to cool the Phillips 66 plant, because right now they're pulling 1,200 acre feet, 2,000 acre feet a year, something like that, out of the ground, which is out of the basin.
How dare they?
And they have their own outfall, so they treat their plant, and then it goes out their own outfall. So, not treat their plant, they cool their plant, and then it goes out the outfall. So, if we could use...
Maybe we could recapture it, yeah.
Yeah, for 5 million... Well, they pollute it heavily when they go through their treatment process, so... Because I had asked about why not using some catch basins, pumping it back into there and recycling this, because they pollute it so badly. That's what I heard from Supervisor Teixeira. So if the effluent could be treated to some level that it could be used to cool the plant, then that would be a positive, very positive thing. But, you know, maybe create a revenue source for the South County. So. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representatives, General Manager Lonnie Curtis and Vice President Mary Lucy, Employee Organization, Service Employees International Union, SEIU 620. It is 10:08 p.m. We'll adjourn in a closed session at this time.
Are you going to take future agenda items?
Do you want to do those now?
I just want ATP put on there.
Okay. All right. It is 10:08 p.m. Adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening. Go to the front.